He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Let's rampage through your calls here and then get to a bunch of news. John in FEMA Region 5. What former state are you in?
Oh, Wisconsin.
All right. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, I got...
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage. This is our pre-election coverage for Obama's midterm elections. Now, a lot is going to happen this election. We look to see a turnover in the Senate. Of course, that's the horse race aspect. There's going to be many different aspects that we're going to cover tonight. But first, since this is a live broadcast, I want to let you know how you can get in touch with us. Here's Rob Dew with that information.
Thank you, David. This is Rob Dew here at InfoWars.com. I'm over in Studio B. This is our first nightly news studio that we built and actually premiered the first show out of. It was September 1st, 2011. Back then, it was just a small crew of four of us and Alex, and we were able to build a team of reporters and expand and keep expanding with your help at PrisonPlanet.tv. All the members there, we sure do appreciate all your support. Now, I want to tell you all the ways that you can get in touch with us and watch the show live. If you go to InfoWars.com, right now on the homepage, we have a button on the top, and you'll see a election button. And if you bring that up right now, guys, you can show the people at home watching that. And you also see a free live video right underneath. There it is. You got the elections and free election coverage. Now, elections will take you to InfoWars.com/election. There's that button. And right underneath it is the free live video coverage, which takes you to InfoWars.com/show. Let's go to the elections button first. Let's hit that. And it takes you to, there it is. It looks like we have, and then there's the masthead, and also has some of the election articles that we've been bringing up. If you click on the top of that, scroll back up, guys, to the top, and you hit that freedom versus oppression, free live coverage, that takes you also to InfoWars.com/show, same as the free live coverage. And there you can hit play on that and watch it for free. We also have on our YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/TheAlexJonesChannel. We are also offering a free stream of all the stuff that's going on as well today. So there's basically three ways you can get to us. You got InfoWars.com/show. If you're a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, you could get to us that way. Or through the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. We have the free election coverage there that we're going to run for the next 2 days. And we're going to be doing all this. And we really want your feedback on this. We're also going to be having a live Twitter board. You guys can cut to that camera real quick. You'll see Leanne looking at some of the tweets going on. And she'll be responding to those live. We'll have a different rotating cast of characters rotating through there. And so we want to send us your questions, send us your comments. And really, we want to make this as interactive as possible, because we really do want to bring the media, the new media, into the 21st century and beyond. And with your help, we can do that. And this is really exciting that we can bring you all this stuff live here, all the different studios that we're going to be cutting to, the different panels, all the videos we're going to be playing. It's all due to your help and your support at PrisonPlanet.tv. And with that, we're going to go back to David Knight and the rest of the live show. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock tonight.
That's right. We're going to take a look at the horse race aspect of it. But we're also going to look at the fraud. We're going to look at the political ads. We're going to look at who's behind that. We're going to look at the issues that weren't addressed in this campaign that basically have been ignored by both sides. This is going to be an historic realignment because of Obama's policies and because of his executive orders, his dictatorial way of handling things. Now, of course, he and Mary Landrieu will famously tell you that this is just because of sexism and racism, ignoring, of course, the fact that she's been elected 3 times as a woman, and Obama has been elected and reelected as a black man. That hasn't changed. What has changed is people have seen that his policies are making their lives and our lives quite a bit worse. Now, we do have some interesting news. We see that ex-Secret Service agent is on the verge of a huge upset, according to his assessment. This is reported by WND.com. This is Dan Bongino. We're going to have some information about him later in the broadcast. He was a former Secret Service agent for Obama, basically he's had enough. And he pointed out in the article that he says he does his own social media. It's his voice. And he says, don't fall into the trap of speaking down to people. In other words, people can understand it if you give them content. So we're going to have some of what he has to say coming up later on. Of course, signaling that things are not going their way. We have Joe Biden today saying that he is ready to compromise. Well, he's been compromising on our rights, on our freedoms, on the Constitution for a long time, but now he's sending out a signal saying that he's willing to compromise now with the Republicans once they have the majority in the Senate. Very different from what we heard earlier when we just heard Obama say he's got a pen and he's got a phone and he's going to basically do whatever he wants. And that's going to be one of the aspects that we're going to talk about tomorrow night with Alex Jones. We're going to talk about what comes after the election, the consequences for that. And it's not really clear that it's going to be a, certainly isn't clear. We all know the Republicans are largely going to follow along with the policies that the Democrats have had because they've largely got the same corporate masters. In some ways, we're going to see an acceleration into the kind of one world government, the kind of corporate elitism that we've seen in the past. One example, that's going to be, for example, in the Senate Intelligence Committee. We know that Dianne Feinstein's kind of got a personal feud going now with the NSA over the direct bugging of her Senate staff and the Intelligence Committee as they were looking at the CIA torture report. So there's been a lot of back and forth on that. But the person who would likely replace her, Richard Burr, has basically said he doesn't ever see a need that the Senate Intelligence Committee would have any public hearings. So much for transparency, so much about controlling and reining in criminal organizations. Now, we're also going to be talking about fraud, and today just an article that just came out about a lone wolf political operative and some corruption. We have a mail carrier being investigated over allegations of dumping GOP political mailers. This is out of Madison, Wisconsin. Basically, this guy evidently doesn't like the GOP, so he just decided that he would dump the mail as a mail carrier. But, of course, it's also the bigger guys who we're going to be concerned about. We're going to be taking a look at that when Rob Dew joins us with Darren McBreen. We're going to be looking at GMO initiatives, at pot initiatives, and the way big money is really throwing its weight around in those areas. But, of course, there's other subtle ways that that happens as well. Now, the Edward Snowden documentary Citizen 4 has now hit theaters in the U.S., but only 37. Not 3,700. But just 37 theaters. Now, compare that to what Harvey Weinstein did with Zero Dark Thirty, making a hero out of Obama just before the reelection. They don't want to completely demoralize the base, so they don't want them to see what he's been doing to civil liberties. Well, one of the ways that we know whether or not we're slaves or not, of course, is the Second Amendment. And although the Second Amendment gets a lot of attention, it's not necessarily in the way that we would like to see that happen, is it, Jakari?
That's exactly right, David, because one of the things we all know, you know, we're all pro-gun. We all support the right to keep and bear arms. But, you know, a lot of times you'll go out in the streets, you'll talk to people, you have a lively debate, and they'll say, Obama's not trying to ban guns, and you guys are lying. They always try to say that you're a Republican. Obama didn't take anybody's guns. Well, it's not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we've seen various places around the country, whether it's New York with the with the SAFE Act, they don't want you to have a certain type of firearm. But let's look back and think about last year, talking about 2013 and all the things they tried to ban in just that year. We have the article, Dianne Feinstein's Assault Weapons Ban of 2013. And just to give you the precursor for what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about Bill Gates, Michael Bloomberg, all the big billionaire boys club who want to come and take away your firearms, even though they have personal bodyguards and people to protect them. But Senator Dianne Feinstein, last year, she had the assault weapons ban, and she had it written, all semi-automatic rifles that can accept a detachable magazine and have at least one military feature. It includes a pistol grip, a forward grip, a folding, telescoping, or detachable stock, and also a grenade launcher. I don't see too many of those, or rocket launchers around. But if you scroll a little further down, and you can see the 150-plus firearms that would just cease to exist in the United States of America, including but not limited to AK-47 assault rifles. Now, I'm sure you guys all recall the very, very famous clip with President Obama. I will not take your rifle away. I will not take your shotgun away. But the thing, they do these sleight of hand techniques because President Obama was content to hide behind Dianne Feinstein. I'll let her put out just whatever she can get through. That's what I'll sign. That's what I'll back. And we see here, I don't know about you guys, but I think an AK-47 is a rifle. I'm not a a master of arms or anything. But Joe Biggs, you spent many years in combat. Would you consider a AK-47 to be a rifle?
I mean, basically, I mean, it's just a regular rifle. Yeah, I mean, it's an assault rifle, but it's pretty typical. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, everyone uses them. It's in every country.
Right. It's one of the most famous rifles on
the planet. One of the most durable ones. You could drop it in mud, water, dirt, anything like that. It's still going to be reliable.
Right. So that's the precursor. But now let's talk more about the guys who are currently involved in this gun debate. Let's start with one, William Gates, and we'll have a special report following this segment of the news that goes more in depth on this. But we have this. Bill Gates donates $1 million to U.S. gun control campaign, and this is a gun control campaign out of Washington State. And we see the guys, Bloomberg, Bill Gates, they're coming out and funding all these gun... They don't want to call themselves anti-gun. I guess they prefer the term gun control. Mm-hmm. We want to control how many bullets you can have in your magazine. We want to control the type of stock that you have on your firearm, things such as this. You know, they want to control who you can sell your firearm to or buy your firearm from.
But the problem is that that's the way you turn a fundamental right
into
a government-granted privilege.
That is exactly right.
By gradual infringement, moving around in the edges, shaving off a little bit here, shaving off a little bit there, and pretty soon you've got nothing.
Right.
Except what they allow you to have. So it becomes a privilege.
That's right. And that's what we see. And that's what we don't want. Because I want the right to go out and buy whatever I want to buy. Because we saw the famous, or should I say infamous clip that Paul Joseph Watson did an article on, talking about the guys in the field. And they had the DHS training video showing the guys, you know, transacting a gun transaction. You know, buying guns out the trunk of a car. They try to play this off as if it was
aerial
some
view.
Illegal activity. We'll talk more about that here in a second. Now we see gun control group joins forces with $50 million from Michael Bloomberg. And you guys know Michael Bloomberg. What's it? They keep changing the name, Dave. It's hard for me to keep up. It was Mayors Against Illegal
Guns. Yeah, because
guns,
they're not getting any traction. They're losing. And when they lose, they try to essentially rebrand themselves and come back in a different way. And that's a large part of why he's covering different people. In many cases, like any special interest or PAC group, he wants to look like he's got a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of picking and choosing. And a lot of the incumbents that he's supporting are not necessarily people that are such hardcore gun control addicts. You know, they've got some other people that he's basically taking a pass on that have been doing it for years, would truly do want an outright ban as soon as possible, as quickly as they can get it. And he doesn't give them any money because he wants to push this. But he's funding both sides of this. He's funding anti-gun Republicans, and he's also funding anti-gun Democrats against pro-gun Democrats. So that's a key thing for people to realize what he's doing there.
Yeah, it's controlled opposition. And we see the article, Bloomberg Gun Control Group's endorsement are incumbent heavy. And you can see this. You can read this article for yourself, The Washington Wire, and see the tail of the tape on that. But, you know, it's these guys, these Bloombergs, these Bill Gateses, as I said earlier, and you'll see in the report coming up, you know, these guys have armed bodyguards to protect themselves. You know, you'll see the video coming up here shortly. Somebody approaches Bloomberg. He says, Mayor Bloomberg, in the spirit of gun control, will you disarm your entire security force? And he stumbles around and goes, I'll try to get back to you on that. And this is what they do. You know, they don't want you to have the means to protect yourself. Meanwhile, they're surrounded. Their children are protected. They ride around with the bodyguards and all
that. These college students, you know, a lot of these college students I encounter, I go and talk to, they're all like, I don't think we should have guns anymore. I really think that's the job for the police. They need to be the ones with guns. Us as the citizens to just give our guns up and trust them to do the right thing. And that's what's being taught in these schools. That's what a lot of our youth are growing up with the mindset that we don't need guns. Those are bad. Let's just give them up.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that, talking about the police are coming here to save you in our next segment. But, you know, talking more about that, I've been to the same college campuses that you have, Joe Biggs, gone out and done some reports. And, you know, I did a report when I went out and I asked particularly young ladies, you know, do you think that you should be able to conceal carry on campus? And, you know, I'm not trying to force a gun into anybody's hands. You know, that's what they always say. You want everybody to be packing a gun. If you want a gun, if you're a sane mind and body, you know, go for it. But I don't want some Obamacare doctor to tell you you can't. But, you know, talking about the young ladies and the firearms, and I asked them, you know, would you carry a firearm? And a lot of them said no. I said, well, what do you expect to happen if you are attacked? You know, lo and behold, it's like, well, I'll just call 911. So then I tested them. I said, so this, you know, big, strong, scary man with the ninja skills to pull a loaded gun out of your hand, for some reason, won't be able to take your phone away. You know, and it's not saying,
well,
let's give everybody a gun.
Look at the sheriff in Milwaukee. What was his name?
David Clark. Yes.
Now, Bloomberg targeted him directly because he said that. He honestly went out and told the people, he said, look, we can't be everywhere. to defend you. So, you know, we'll do what we can to catch the people. But, you know, if somebody attacks you, it's going to be a while before we can get there. So you should get a firearm, and you should take classes and learn how to use it. And so for that, Bloomberg targeted him. Okay, they had $500,000 spent on that sheriff's race. And, of course, it was just a Democrat primary because it wasn't a Republican opposition. So essentially, Dave Clark won. And the interesting thing to me about it is even though Bloomberg by himself gave $150,000, Dave Clark said, the people are going to realize that this is not for sale. And I think that's the key. We're going to see this as we go through this tonight. We're going to see this as a common recurring theme of these billionaires who basically have turned into one-man political action committees.
Oh, yes.
Because they have so much money, so much clout. And I think there's a lot more to it than just guns with Bloomberg. He's anti-freedom on a lot of different issues.
He's a control freak. He wants to tell you, you know, what kind of soda you can have.
That's right. If you look at it, the guy who's head of the CDC now, Frieden, was his soda guy back in New York. Okay. He's against your freedom in every respect. But he also wants to empower himself. That's what's behind a lot of this money that he's targeting people on. I mean, he is definitely against the Second Amendment because that allows the people to have a check on uncontrolled government power. And he wants uncontrolled government power. But he also wants to endear himself to certain politicians. And we'll see that as a recurring theme with Sheldon Adelson, with the amendment in Florida, with medical marijuana. We'll see that over and over again, that these guys have so much money. So we're going to be looking at a follow the money as we come back up. But let's take the discussion to militarization of the police. Joe, you guys saw that firsthand. Both of you guys saw that firsthand. And Ferguson, we've been reporting about that for a long time. Alex has been warning people about this for 20 years, that this is where everything is heading. The John Birch Society has been talking about it probably for 50 years. I mean, this is something that has been in the cards. They've been gradually building for. But now we're really at the event horizon. I mean, this is happening now and accelerating very rapidly as if we're going into some kind of a black hole.
You know, but why isn't this a major political issue right now?
Exactly. Nobody's talking about
it. This is something that needs
even
to
with
be
Ferguson.
Talked about on a large scale nationwide, because police violence is rampant right now.
Yes.
I mean, it is out of control. You give a child a toy, and he doesn't know how to use it. He's just going to play with it. However, you know, these guys are being given military gear funding without proper training.
As a matter of fact, this is a live show. If somebody wants to contact us and tell us, if you have a race in your area where there is a local city councilman or a state legislator or somebody running for statewide office, or maybe even somebody running for federal office where they have actually said they're concerned about out-of-control police, they're concerned about the militarization of the police, let us know. We'll give that person a plug. Tomorrow's the day that everybody's going to vote. Go ahead, Joe. What do you want to say about
it? This is... It all goes down to the fact, back with Ferguson. Ferguson was a huge eye-opener for this militarization of police on a large scale. You know, a lot of people hear about it. It's on different websites like Police State USA, things like that. But Ferguson was a first time on a global scale, I could say, where people could actually just watch, turn on their TV on any channel almost, and see these cops and these MRAPs pointing sniper rifles at people. That's something that you see overseas in combat. To see it on the streets here, that's something that people need to open their eyes. And like you said, this needs to be a big issue. People need to talk about this, and it's something that needs to stop. And you know, after a lot of these issues happened in Ferguson, people were like, whoa, a lot of these police stations were like, I don't want this equipment anymore. I want to turn it back in. You know, and they're not letting them take it.
Exactly. And we had a situation earlier this summer when you talked about the equipment program. This is the Defense Logistics 1033 program, where they want to give the MRAPs and all this heavy equipment to the local police stations. Interestingly enough, even though they are basically opening the floodgates for these police departments, they stopped it this summer for fire departments, a 60-year-old program that basically gave surplus trucks. They would have had to pay $200,000, $300,000. They could do it for a tenth of the cost to upfit that. That's a program that's been going on for 60 years. And the Pentagon 1033 program basically said, we're going to stop that. At the same time, they're opening the floodgates. Now, that got turned back. It took about 3 weeks because the firemen are a pretty activist group. And it affected the local fire departments. They were the ones who really needed it. It was local, rural fire departments, volunteer fire stations. They take care of 83% of the fires, okay? Many of them on federal land. They're in large rural areas where they it's going to take them a very long time to truck in equipment or to truck in water. So they need these this kind of equipment to fight those fires effectively.
Well, they're first responders half the time, too. They're
exactly.
They're quicker than police.
But see, we hear that this program is being given to police because they're concerned they want them to have equipment for emergency situations. That's not the case. Why would you cut it off to the fire departments? They said they were cutting it off because they were going to start enforcing an EPA regulation that they've ignored for 25 years. Suddenly
like
they were going to enforce it.
It's like they're strategically placing all this equipment all over the place. And like we were talking about, they're not letting these police stations turn the equipment back in. But what they're making them do is run the maintenance on it and keep everything up to date. And they're making
You can't take these things down to Jiffy Lube. You know, these are hardcore military vehicles. You know, somebody has to pay for this because how they get them is they give them these MRAPs at dirt cheap prices. You know, $2,000, $3,000 is nothing. You know, they spend more on graphics, a lot of them do, and putting the sirens on.
Well, the MRAPs in particular, they were rushed to the theater, of battle because they wanted something that was going to withstand the roadside bombs and everything. So they've had a lot of maintenance issues with these vehicles. Been very, very expensive to maintain. So their solution, I think, as we've talked about this, I think they're done. They're basically, it's like the white elephant, you know, where the Indian Raja used to give you this sacred elephant and now you had to feed it. They're sending this equipment to local municipalities and telling them, okay, this is still belongs to the DOD. This is a lease thing. You don't own it, but you have to maintain it and you can't get rid of it without our permission. And so when these people, like you're talking about, want to get rid of it, they basically get silence on the other end of the line. They don't tell them they're going to take it back or anything. Meanwhile, they're on the hook to maintain this stuff. Right. And it's prepositioned for martial law in all these different localities.
Because you see, just like what happened in Ferguson, you know, in the early days when we first got out there, you know, we were interacting with crowds that were 98% peaceful. You know, there's, you know, definitely been some things that gone on since then, but they come out there and they use these military tactics, aiming guns at people in the crowd, firing pretty much indiscriminately with rubber bullets into blinding clouds of smoke. And then they come out and they say, well, yeah, we gave it to them, you know, the Pentagon, DOD, whoever, but we didn't know they would actually use it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
like I said, you give a kid a toy, he's going to play with it.
Yeah. Well, they've made it clear that in order to get this equipment, they want you to have arrest and apprehension powers. That's why they don't want the firemen to have it. Okay. Now, when they got a pushback from the Congress and the Congress sent the letter to the Pentagon and got them to reverse this program, they said, all right, we won't give them the equipment anymore. We'll loan it to them. But they were already loaning it to them. I mean, there were multiple papers talking about how there was one in Indiana. They said $12 million worth of surplus equipment is now on loan to more than 250 volunteer fire departments in Indiana. That was when it was stopped back at the end of June. They also said in Oklahoma, over 8,000 vehicles valued at $150 million being used by Oklahoma Fire Department. So what they did was they lied about it. What a surprise, okay? They lied about it and they said, all right, we'll change the rules. Instead of giving it to you, we'll keep it on loan, and then that will get around the EPA requirements, okay?
Yeah, these guys are supposed to protect and serve. I mean, how often is it you're driving down the road and you look in your rearview mirror and see a cop and go, oh, my God, I feel a lot safer? No, you feel a little nervous because the way these guys act nowadays, you don't know if they're going to pull you over something bogus and then you're going to get shot. Because we saw it happen in South Carolina when that guy reached for his ID, he shot him up at the gas station. These guys are out of control. I mean, another thing are these no-knock raids that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is something that's got to stop. Because their intel is off a lot of times. They go to the wrong houses and people pay the price. Babies, things like that. It's got to stop.
Yeah, Baby Bobo is what he's referencing there. And you see it on the screen if you're watching on Infowars.com/show. Yes, they throw a flashbang into this this house. They blow half the baby's face off. And then they come out and
expose his ribs as well.
Yeah, and then they come out and say, well, we found that we did nothing wrong because it's our policy. And that's what it always comes down to, whether it's Ferguson in the city of Houston, I believe it was, where a teenage girl was on her cell phone in the school. The cops come in, they throw her down. She's, 14 years old, 100 pounds. Soaking wet, and they throw it down on the ground, put a knee on their face because that's their policy.
Yeah.
It's the policies that need to change because so often when these things happen, you know, is our policy.
Because
so
they've gone into a complete and total military aspect of how they approach all their situations. Any call they go on, it's a shoot first, ask questions later mentality now. That's something that they do in the military. They used to. They don't even do it more. Now in the military, ever since I think it was around 2008 in Afghanistan, you had to be fired at before you could actually fire back. Mm-hmm. These guys are having like old school war mentalities. They're getting out of the car, guns or hands on a gun, hand on a taser. Remember the time we'd been chased by police? I was trying to find our way back into the media area at Ferguson, and I just went and knocked up on a police car the window, and the guy had his hand automatically on the taser ready to hit me. Mm-hmm. And I was showing him my press pass saying, hey, I just need to get back to the media area. What can I do? And this guy automatically, that's something that he feels threatened by.
Yeah, and then, you know, I was with Biggs when that happened, and he looks at me and he's like, where's your press pass? I was like, well, I lost it when you guys were shooting at me when I was running down the street. You know, it's just completely ridiculous how, you know, they approach things, even media. You know, they would come out there and try to silence the media like that. But, you know, beyond Ferguson, we look at other aspects, like, you know, like the use of tasers. You know, it happened right here in the city of Bastrop, right outside this city of Austin. And there's a young man who broke up a fight, and it's on video. You know, local news has released it as well as other news outlets. And the young man breaks up a fight, then the cop just comes up and tases him from behind. He falls down and busts his head open. Yeah. You know, we've had his attorney on the show who talked about this, and the cops say, you know, we did nothing wrong. I was like, how can you say you did nothing wrong when you tased somebody who was not only not a threat to you, but was helping defuse the situation?
Well, and of course, earlier this year, we saw out in New Mexico that homeless man that was shot, the video of that. And then just last week, we saw eight cops unload their weapons into one man, 49 years old, standing off at a distance from them. So the question is, what do we do about this? Because there is nobody that I know of that is talking about how do we stop this control of law enforcement, this changing the rules of engagement, this brainwashing at the federal level. How do we disincentivize that? There's no penalty for the cops who do this. Basically, the police union is standing there for them. The federal government wants them to do that. There is no personal liability, essentially, for them in most cases that's going to stop that. We don't even see the budget of that police department being cut. I think that whenever you've got a lawsuit, when they act egregiously like that, and there's an award of a couple of million dollars to surviving relatives, I think that ought to come out of the police department. I think it ought to be something that comes out of the cops who actually did that. I think they should have some skin in the game for
that. Well, you're seeing more and more of these police officers get hemmed up, get put in their place because citizens are starting to film the police.
Yeah.
At traffic stops, anything like that. They are starting to film everything when they get pulled over. And I think that's something that people need to get into the habit of. They need to start filming the police and protecting themselves, and let the police officer know, hey, sir, I'm filming you. I'm not just doing this for your protection, but I'm doing it for mine as well.
And that's something we're going to talk about later. People in Keene, New Hampshire, are very much about watching each other's backs. They show up when somebody's getting a ticket. They actually have a patrol where they go around and help people. They call it the Robin Hood Patrol, where they help people to keep them from getting parking tickets. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about, and that is, what can you do to transcend the system? We're going to talk about that tonight. We'll also be talking about that tomorrow. We've got some interviews coming up with the Free State Project. There are things that you can do that are, I think, more effective than the election system. Of course, we want to participate in every way that we can to try to stick it down the throat of the globalists and the people who are trying to destroy this country. I want to go now to Leanne McAdoo. She's at our Twitter desk, and she's looking at some of the things that people have tweeted. Leanne, what have you got there?
Thanks, David. Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Joe, Joe 012594. He is trolling the dinosaur media for us, basically using this election 2014 hashtag to go ahead and troll the dinosaur media and everyone else, just saying, hey, come on over to InfoWars. We're going to be here covering live tonight from 7 p.m. to 10, starting tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. until we shut it down. But Terry Henry here, McDubious, he wants to know what would we say to if voting changed anything, it would have been outlawed years ago. Now, I think this is a sentiment that a lot of young people are certainly feeling, that their vote doesn't matter, and it seems we're seeing so much voter fraud, election fraud, now of course with the electronic voting machines. I mean, it does sort of seem really, the system seems rigged, but just the fact that they are encouraging voter fraud. Obama says go out and And, you know, you can vote as much as you want or, you know, any every day of the week. And, you know, then we do see that the voting machines are, there are glitches. There's a reason for that. So obviously our votes must count. And, you know, you can say, well, if I throw my trash in the garbage can, it doesn't matter. If everyone doesn't recycle, you know, it just doesn't matter. But that's, you can't think like that. You've got to vote. You've got to go out and make sure that you're heard and that your vote counts. And just make sure you don't go out and vote for the lesser of two evils. Just get rid of that mindset. Go
and vote
for.
That's the mentality I've been seeing a lot of. A lot of people are going to that whole, you know, my vote's not going to count. What's the point? Why should I take the time out of my day to get off work and go vote for something where the system doesn't work? And like you said, you're picking the lesser of two evils. So that's the same mentality I've been seeing amongst a lot of people nowadays.
Listen, I think we should be skeptical, but I don't think we should be cynical about it.
Right.
Okay. There are some places where we can make a difference.
Yes.
There are going to be a lot of races, like presidential races in particular, okay, where there's going to be just so much corruption. It's going to be the old expression, they stole it fair and square. I think that might have been from the Nixon camp during the JFK Nixon election. You know, that's what's happening at those levels. And, of course, they can reach into any race that they consider to be very important, and they can do that at the governor level. They can even go down ballot and do it in certain areas. But I don't believe that we have the situation yet where they are that interested in all of the races. And so I think if you overwhelmingly support something, it gets to the point where I think they will basically back off and hope that they can corrupt the person after they get into office. And, of course, we have to hold their feet to the fire. But I think that it's always worthwhile getting in there, if for nothing else, to expose the corruption in the system and use that as an opportunity to wake people up and say, look at how the system is rigged. Look at how these guys are two hand puppets off of the same corporatist.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, too, though.
Exactly.
We go out and we find these politicians and we give them real question, you know, real questions. We go out there and ask them the stuff that mainstream media is, quite frankly, scared to do.
Yes.
You know, the mainstream media does not do their job anymore when it comes to covering these politicians and, like you said, holding their feet to the fire. And that's something that we at InfoWars do. We go out there and we ask those hard questions. We make them be accountable for their actions and what they say.
And as far as that goes, you know, like David touched on, you know, your big national elections, you know, there's a lot of things going on that are beyond your control. But your local elections, your sheriff, your city council, your mayor, you know, those things that you should get involved in and hopefully affect change. You know, right here in the city of Austin, Texas, we have a very anti-gun candidate running for our mayor. And, you know, even if he gets in, you know, we have a very pro-gun city councilman, you know, who's trying to get elected. So you have things like that. These, you can have somewhat of a balance. You know, I don't think it's just a good idea to cast the whole thing off. Like David said, you can be skeptical, but.
And I think it's important to look down ballot and to not throw away the idea that you don't have any power except at the very top of the ticket.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of power. If you get the right people in lower down, you know, for some reason, you know, if you can get somebody in that really understands that states do have power under the Constitution to withstand some of the illegal actions of the federal government, we have a candidate like that here in Texas, Kathy Glass, who's running for governor. And, you know, this race here in Texas now is so skewed that the argument that, you know, well, you've got to vote for Tweedledee because if you don't, Tweedledum is going to get in. Now you've got pretty much a certain winner here in Greg Abbott. Looks like he's 20 points ahead of the Democrat opponent, so much so that they're analyzing this and saying, you know, boy, is she going to sink battleground Texas? You know, I mean, it's basically it's a done deal. So I think a lot of people are going to be free to both Democrats and Republicans to vote for who they would like to see and not really worry about the other guy getting in that they're afraid of. And I think that a lot of these third-party candidates will take from both Democrats and Republicans because they're talking about some of the issues that neither the Democrats or Republicans are addressing, or they say, we're the guy that's going to help you with economic freedom, or we're the guy that's going to help you with civil liberties. And then when they get in office, they basically forget about that.
Yeah.
And it's not so much what they say, it's what they do, because we see, shining example, President Obama said he's going to shut down Guantanamo Bay, said he's going to leave your guns alone, said he's going to do this, said he's going to do that, said if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You know, it's not what they say, it's what they do. And, you know, it's try to get a good feel, you know, for anybody at any level that you plan to vote for, just try to get a good feel of what they've done in the past and, you know, contrast that with what you think they may perform in the future.
Let me say one more thing, too, about elections, and that's Ron Paul, okay? Ron Paul, you could say that it was a quixotic for him to run as a Libertarian candidate back when he did it. Then he ran in 2008 okay, had no chance, was kept out of the debates, that sort of thing. He kept plugging at it. And then 2012, he had a massive amount of support. I believe that that nomination was stolen from him by the GOP. And a lot of people saw that election stolen from Ron Paul at caucus after caucus, dirty tricks at the primaries by the Republicans. And that's a very valuable thing because he exposed the fraud, okay, by running for election. And so it got a lot of people to understand how this system is rigged. And I think there was a lot of value to that, even though they stole the election. Let's go back to Leanne. Leanne, do you have anything else?
Well, I just want to add to that. It's like Alex said today, if the game is rigged, it's like football. We've got to get up 50 points ahead of them because we know they're going to be, you know, setting up the machines in Maryland where they're going to choose, you know, force you to choose a Democratic candidate if you wanted to vote Republican or for someone else. It'll just switch your vote for you. But there, you know, you can demand a recount if you're actually seeing that in the voting booth. But Southern Patriot, he's also asking what can people do about it? What will Americans do about it if they do find out that there is rampant voter fraud?
Well, I had a chance to talk to James O'Keefe today, and we'll air that, if not today, then tomorrow, talking about his experiences in not voter fraud, but, you know, trying to take it to the extreme to see how easy it is to actually commit the voter fraud.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was exposing that just if you live in a certain state, you know, like I believe he's in North Carolina in his most recent videos, if you just get to the ballot before somebody else, like if I got there before Joe Biggs, I could vote as Joe Biggs if I knew basic information,
absolutely,
like his address. So it is that easy, you know, to commit the voter fraud in some of these states.
I know some of that happened to them. It didn't get reported. They told me about it. They told other friends about it. Went to the voting booth and found that they had already voted. And they'd crossed their name off the list and said, he looked at it and he saw that his dead mother had also voted because she was still on the list. They're not purging the rolls there. And the fact that they would say that it is racist to have a picture ID is absolute nonsense when they require a picture ID for everything.
Every race.
You can't cash a check. Every interaction with the government, they want your ID.
Well, even Nelson Mandela ran with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said, get your voter ID.
When you look at how it's broken down, and, you know, Washington Post went in and basically broke this down with a very helpful guide as to where if you're not legally allowed to vote in areas, you can vote without any ID, right? And so I broke it down in terms of percentage. You know, there's only 14% of the states, only 14% of the states where you have to have a photo ID that's required. Some will request it. Some will request other ID. Most of them don't even request anything. 39% no ID. And North Carolina is one of those places. That's why you saw what happened with James O'Keefe.
They said he was asked for his, and that was breaking the law, he said. When she asked him for a photo ID, he said he was kind of set back from the whole situation. Like, okay, you're doing the right thing, but technically you're breaking the law.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get one more from Leanne, if you got one more that's interesting, and then we'll come back. I want to talk just a little bit more about the Second Amendment militarization of the police, and then we'll go to break with Jakari's report. Leanne, have you got another one for us from Twitter?
Well, one of the questions here, since we're talking about the Second Amendment, they want to know why the Second Amendment is so important here, specifically speaking about Florida.
Okay. Why is it important, guys?
Well, it's your right to keep and bear arms, which is your last line of defense. It's a worst-case scenario that you may have to defend yourself against the government, but I don't think it's a complete impossibility.
But don't you want that choice to be able to go, okay, I can get one?
Yeah.
I mean, instead of feeling like you got to, you know, duck and dodge and cheat a few corners to get something like that. I mean, I would rather have that choice to be like, all right, I don't feel comfortable with having a gun, so I'm not going to have one. Or I do feel comfortable to have a gun, so I'm going to go get one. That's right. Something that everyone should have.
Yeah, and just like I said earlier, you know, if you want a gun, that's fine. You know, like I went out to the campus, I wasn't forcing a gun in anybody's hand. And I was like, if you want one and you're of sound mind and body and of age, you know, hey, go get one. You know, that should be your right as an American, you know, because a lot of people, they want you to go jump through the hoops and, you know, get a concealed carry and all that. And, you know, that's all well and good. But the fact of the matter is you have a right to bear arms if you have not committed any crime. And even if you have committed a crime, I'll just touch on this briefly. You know, when you talk about felons, and felons not being able to carry guns, some of these felons have done no violent crimes. They have things like hot checks. You know, that's not a violent crime, and it's something I don't think is something should bar you from having your right to bear arms.
You know, I'll say no free man should ever be disbarred the use of guns. it was considered to be a mark of being a slave not to have weapons to protect yourself. The founders of this country understood that. Now, when I was running and involved with the Libertarian Party before, we used to have people come to us all the time and say, look, you say that it's a check against government power. What are you going to do against big military weapons when you've only got pistols? Well, in the Warsaw Ghetto, they had unarmed Jews who, with a hammer or whatever, got one pistol, then got more pistols, and eventually they held down an entire Panzer division for such a long time that in order to control the revolt, they essentially burned the city to the ground. Now, you can't do that on a nationwide basis if people own guns.
Right.
It is an effective restraint. And that's what it is. It's a restraint. It's not a threat to the government. It's a restraint. It's what they do with nuclear weapons during the Mutual Assured Destruction program, right? Having the nuclear weapon, they didn't want to use it. They ultimately did not. We hope that Obama is not bringing back the Cold War to get us into a situation where we're going to start using it again. But the bottom line is, sometimes the way that you have peace is with power. Sometimes the way that you restrain a government is by having arms, even though you don't use them. And if you don't have the ability to protect yourself against criminals, if you don't have the ability to protect yourself from a government, you are nothing but a slave.
Right.
Nothing but a slave.
It also touches on a Red Dawn scenario. You know, who wants to invade us because they don't only have to fight our military, our police, but the normal citizen.
Yes.
You know, you have normal citizens pulling out AKs and ARs and, you know, whatever they have their hands on. Nobody wants to come in here and invade Texas.
Well, I tweeted something out when the incident happened in Canada, and I said, you know, when you disarm your citizens, it makes you a soft target for terrorism. And it did get under the skin of a lot of Canadians, but I would say tenfold tweeted me back and agreed. They're like, yeah, you know, this pisses me off. A lot of these guys were ex-Canadian military. They're like, you know, I've had a gun my entire career, and then when I get it, I'm told I can have one, and I no longer have that feeling like I can protect myself because, like, I hate that. It hurts.
Yes.
You know, that's got to be a horrible feeling to know that you don't have that choice.
Just from a self-defense situation, whether you're in a situation with a terrorist or whether you got somebody that's hopped up on drugs and starts shooting up a school or whatever, somebody with a gun can always take out one person, but they can't take out the entire crowd if somebody else is armed. They'll stop them. And so that's why you have it restrains it. It's not a panacea. There is no perfect solution. You can't stop people from coming in and sneaking up behind somebody and shooting them in the head. But you can stop them from shooting everybody in the head because they're the only person with a weapon. Let's go to Jakari's report on the shenanigans that Bloomberg and others are up to.
Hey, before we do that, David, yeah. I want to read a couple tweets real quick.
Okay.
There's a couple things that we're going to be covering.
A couple more tweets.
Yeah, so we got the Florida Amendment, two questions about medical marijuana. We're going to be covering that coming up. Mm-hmm. This is Rob doing the control room, by the way. Hey, everybody out there. And also, there's another one. How do we keep these Republicans we're about to elect true to their oaths? I think that's a very, very important question that we're going to try to answer today. And one question is, you got to hold their feet to the fire. You have to keep these people accountable. You can't just get mad when the Democrats are in power. You have to go to these meetings and tell the Republicans, look, we're sick and tired of this stuff. We're sick and tired of all this wasteful money and all these wars. And that's one way we're going to change this. Because the Democrats, they don't seem to want to listen, at least the vast majority of them. They're bought and sold, just like a lot of major Republicans, the boner Republicans out there. So we do have to watch out for those, and I know we're going to be covering that later. But I just saw those two tweets and wanted to cover those real quick. But, yeah, you're about to throw to Jakari's. I'll throw back to you, David.
Yeah, you know, Rob, one of the problems that we see is that at this stage of the game, many people are looking at it and saying, wow, I've got two really bad choices. Many cases, they don't realize that there's somebody else on the ballot, maybe a couple more people on the ballot that they haven't really looked at. But I think a lot of people get involved way too late. By the time you get to the general election, at that point, it's usually too late. You've already missed the Tea Party candidate. You've already missed the guy who might have challenged that incumbent who basically lied to your face, goes to Washington and basically cashes in. And, you know, when you ignore the ability to get these people out at the primary level, then you wind up downstream with essentially nothing to go for. And the other part of this, too, is, you know, we talk about voter ID fraud. There's also, of course, the messing with the voting machines, how the votes are counted. But before all of that happens, there's a certain fraud that's being committed against you, and that is not letting people on the ballot. putting restrictions up for third-party independent candidates that the political parties don't have to go through, the Democrats and Republicans don't have to go through, limiting who is allowed to be in the debates so that you don't have a real substantive discussion there. So those types of things, if you would get angry about the fact that they are censoring what you can hear and censoring the candidates that are on the ballot, that would go a long way as well. Let's go to Jakari's report, and we're going to be back with we're going to look at some political ads with Leanne McAdoo, who's going to be in here, and you're going to be amazed at some of the ads that have been aired this year. Here's Jakari's report.
With all the gun rhetoric going on around the nation, it's very important that you don't vote in a wolf in sheep's clothing. A good way to do this is go to the sites, the NRA, also Gun Owners of America. You can go to these sites and select by state the people who have your best interest at heart. And there you see the NRA site, go state by state, see the people with the best ratings for guns, also Gun Owners of America. You can see how people have voted in the past, what their affiliations are, and what they mean to your gun rights. Now, a good place to go if you just want to cut out the middleman and get straight to the meat of it, go to Gun Sense Voter. And what this is, these are the people that you pretty much don't want to vote for if you care about your Second Amendment rights. You can select by state, go all the way down. Hey, this person's anti-gun. This person's anti-gun. But I do caution you, you know, these people may disagree with you on your guns, but they may also have other concerns that you do agree with. I've seen some of these people, they have concerns about securing the border. You know, they don't want to fund ISIS, things like that. So take it all into account and research these people if you still have time left to cast your vote. But, you know, we see the big boys coming out to play on the gun control issue. We've seen Mayor Bloomberg, who we'll talk about more in a second. But right now, let's talk about one, William Gates, Bill Gates. We've seen Gates and his wife donate $1 million to a gun control campaign in Washington state, which seeks pretty much expanded background checks. And people say, well, what's wrong with the universal background check? Well, what's wrong with it is if I live in Washington state and my father wants to give me a gun, or if I have children, I want to give my children a gun, I don't think a background check should be required for that transaction. Or if I'm a private seller and I want to sell somebody my old shotgun in the middle of a field, I don't want DHS putting out a training video with a drone looking down at me and acting like it's some type of criminal activity. Now, of course, that's in Washington state, but it could expand to other places. But, you know, you see people like Bloomberg and, of course, Bill Gates. I'm pretty sure Gates has more than a few armed bodyguards running around, and we definitely know that Mayor Bloomberg has more than a few himself.
Mayor Bloomberg, how you doing? Jason, I grew up in Brooklyn. In the spirit of gun control, will you disarm your entire security team?
You will get right back to you.
You'll get back to me? Would you like a sip of my soda?
But as hypocritical as some of these guys can be, they haven't got people all the way down in the ranks that they want, because we see these anti-gun proponents, they go to these rallies, to these marches here in the city of Austin, Texas.
And I'll be brief. First of all, to the gentleman that's dying for attention, someone needs to inform him that there is no gun ban currently. But because of the work that we're doing here today, we will make your sign legitimate shortly. So you hang on to that.
So that's what they're doing. They want your mayors, your city councilmen, your sheriffs, but they don't have everybody all across the board. And here's a good example. In Detroit, the police chief, he came out and said, this is Mr. James Craig. He said, hey, you know, I want you to be able to arm yourself, because the best thing that can happen is somebody is armed when they encounter a situation. When you have your life in danger, you know, we can't be there all the time. So it's the best thing for you to be able to protect yourself until a policeman or woman is there to offer you the proper assistance. But it's not just in Detroit. We see in Milwaukee as well. Sheriff David Clark, who has been a guest on our show, he said, hey, we're partners now. We need you to watch out for us just like we watch out for you. And by that, what I mean is I need you to be able to go out there and arm yourself. Police admit we can't be every place at once. And you know that as well. You know, you dial 911. How long does it take them to get there? And that's not bashing the police. It's just saying that you need to have the proper means to protect yourself. And everybody who thinks about these gun control, like these gun sellback rallies, let's take those for example. In the state of Arizona, I know that they resell those guns. They're just profiting from the guns that you turn in. So now you know, and knowing is indeed half the battle. But talking about more pro-gun sheriffs, we have Sheriff Nick Finch, who has also been a guest on the Alex Jones Show. He got in some hot water because somebody came into his jail one time, was arrested on a bogus weapons charge, just had a gun without the proper permit. Not that you need a permit to carry a firearm in the United States of America, although some people want to say that you do. Anyway, Mr. Finch, he threw out the charge, threw out the guy, said, hey, man, go home and enjoy your firearm. He said, no, Sheriff, we're not going to have that here. took the sheriff to court. Eventually, the sheriff won the case, and the Second Amendment prevails. And we need more guys like Nick Finch, like Sheriff David Clark, like all these guys I've been talking about tonight. So if you are in a district where you can vote for somebody pro-gun, whether it's your mayor, your city council member, whoever, get those people in office. And because everybody talks about, well, at InfoWars, you guys talk about how the system is so rigged. But in your local municipalities, you can get a good sheriff. You can get a good mayor. We've seen our outgoing attorney general saying that we need things like smart guns, a RFID bracelet or some other type of similar device to where, you know, well, the kids can't get to it. It's great. So if you're not at home and the kids are there with a firearm, they can't use it. Well, that's a decent rationale if you have very irresponsible children because, you know, the anti-gunners, they're going to point out, what about the little girl who shot the guy with the Uzi or, you know, these other very unfortunate situations? And, you know, I'm very concerned about that as well. You know, I've shot my first real gun about the time I was around 12 or 13 years old. For the children who can, they're responsible, sound mind and body. We see the situations like I had in that report.
When I was back there on the phone with 911, I heard the bathroom light turn on that was leading to the closet. And when I saw the door handle turn, I shot him. I guess it went through the door and went through him and went through the door off wall.
A 15-year-old boy and his 12-year-old sister had been home alone in the Mount Royal Village subdivision. Then about 2:30, a pair of home invaders tried the front and back doors, then broke a back window. The brother grabbed his father's assault rifle and knew what to do with it.
Two suspects showed up at Tomball Hospital. One, the adult, had multiple gunshot wounds.
Unfortunate things do happen, but you do have good, honorable people who arm themselves just like these sheriffs and these police chiefs are talking about that I'm saying here. And I want to end this segment with this, talking about how many of these anti-gun groups misrepresent themselves. Because much as I talk about these anti-gunners, guys like Mike Martinez here in the city of Austin, I at least respect Mike Martinez because he comes straight out and tells you what he wants to do. He says, hey, I want to ban the guns. But some of these anti-gun organizations who like to change their name to hide their affiliations or their past sins, they'll come out to you, hand you a flyer that says they want to ban guns and then tell you to your face that they don't want to ban guns.
Nobody's trying to take your toys.
They haven't taken the guns?
Assault weapons.
Ban assault weapons.
They're not trying.
Says right here.
Wait.
That's all Simeon.
Shut up.
Well, that's Dianne Feinstein. It's like, no, Dianne Feinstein did not hand me this flyer. You handed me this flyer. It says ban assault weapons. It also says they want background checks for things such as ammunition purchases and also to track the quantities of ammunition and ban online sales. So, you know, we're not trying to take your guns. We're not trying to ban your guns. That's Dianne Feinstein. It's a conspiracy theory that Obama wants to take your guns, even though he said the infamous Bitter Clinger quote.
People have been beaten down so long, and they feel so betrayed by government.
It's not surprising then that they get better and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy toward people who aren't like them.
That he thinks AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals. And I don't want AK-47s in the hands of criminals either. But you can't classify everybody as being a criminal just because you don't like the weapon that they have.
That hunting and shooting are part of a cherished national heritage. But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
If we can save one child, if we can save one child from this, if we can save one child from that, well, how about we save the children in Mexico from having guns come into their country with Operation Fast and Furious? How about we save the children in Syria and Iraq by not arming these Al-Qaeda and these ISIS rebels? You know, we saw the video last week about the airdrop grenades, you know, in ISIS territory. How many kids are going to die because of that? But if we can save one child, we'll ban your guns. But we can't save one child by, you know, not arming the terrorists that we're fighting against. This is completely ridiculous. It's ongoing. It's not dead. You know, they may have been a little quiet for a while, but they're working behind the scenes. So you can't sleep on it. If you want your guns, if you want your freedom, if you want your whatever, they just want your general rights, all of them. Stay tuned. We have more election coverage. This is the InfoWars Nightly News. And don't let these people lie to your face. We're not trying to ban guns. It says right here on this flyer that you gave me that you want to ban my guns.
I want to know what's really happening with Ebola.
I want to know if there are things out there that could protect this country and protect my three children, just as you do. Government can't and won't protect you from Ebola. It is up to all of us to be prepared and to protect ourselves. I'm not sitting back waiting for the government to come protect me and take care of me. It's why I'm doing everything I can to boost my body's natural defenses. That's why I've got storable foods. That's why I've got my colloidal silver from InfoWarsLife.com, the silver bullet. That's why I've got Nascent Iodine X2 that has absolutely supercharged my personal body's defenses. I personally have gotten prepared, and I recommend everybody else get prepared as well. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to find the most cutting-edge, hardcore supplements on the planet. Or call the InfoWars staff, and we can answer your questions or take your order over the phone at 8-
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
In January of this year, I sent Jakari Jackson and other InfoWars.com reporters to the west coast of the United States to investigate the reports of massive radiation spikes, 10 times in some cases what the background radiation is supposed to be. Professional groups, private organizations, and citizens alike were going out with their field meters and Geiger counters and picking up huge spikes in San Francisco, Los Angeles, but as far north as Seattle. Jakari and our reporters not only confirmed increased radiation, they found it all over the western coastline.
Why is this not a national news story? Why is this not an international news story that these power plants are registering lower radiation than what is being found in Half Moon Bay?
We had witnessed a coordinated cover-up by Tokyo Electric and the Japanese government of the cancers and deaths and thyroid ailments plaguing Japan in the first 3 years after the disaster. So the question was, is there a cover-up going on in the United States and North America as a whole? Turns out the EPA, within just a few months of the Fukushima disaster, with the trade winds and currents coming right into the United States, had indeed raised the levels of what they claimed was safe for the population. In some cases, more than 1,000 times what they had previously claimed was safe. So we continued to investigate and noticed that just a few months after Fukushima, tuna had been caught off the coast of the United States with higher levels of radiation. Buried in reports that got little or no attention, we began to discover massive deformities in whales and other sea life.
seal die-offs, starfish die-offs, massive fish die-offs. And when our reporters went and tested the fish that were being caught off the coast of California, the radiation levels spiked dramatically.
It's almost double.
There's a reason I sent my reporters to the West Coast. It's to draw attention to the fact that the nuclear industries in the United States and worldwide are out of control. More than 75% of reactors in North America are currently leaking. In the past, every one of these leaks would have been a huge issue. Now, it's as if radiation is good for us. In fact, Ann Coulter and others have come out and said that we should be thankful for the radiation. The Japanese should be thankful because, after all, it's good for them.
Radiation in excess of what the government says are the minimum amounts right. You should be exposed to are actually good for you and reduce cases of cancer.
Tell that to all the valiant rescue workers who tried to secure the damaged plant who've now succumbed from radiation sickness and died. And tell that to the sailors and crew of the USS Ronald Reagan, many of which are dead and dying now from radiation poisoning. And the VA will not give them any care and basically puts them on a death panel list to wait and die.
Our sources tell us many were placed on a secret list designed by VA managers to hide the fact veterans were waiting months to see a doctor.
Bottom line, it is important that we draw attention to the fact that this industry is out of control. And we also draw attention to the fact that the federal government itself is ordering millions and millions of dosages of potassium iodide for federal workers while telling the general population that, oh, you don't need to have that unless you live right next door to a nuclear power plant.
They're acting like they're preparing for some sort of nuclear emergency right now, because we now know that the Department of Health and Human Services, for example, they just ordered an unprecedented 14 million doses of potassium iodide, which, you know, protects the body in the event of radioactive poisoning. So right. The federal government, they are already acting as if there's been a severe nuclear accident. Does that concern you as much as it does me?
Oh, yes, it concerns me not only as a journalist, but as a just general citizen.
The truth is, radiation is an invisible poison that's all around us, and the levels of it are going up. It was in my research to find ways to try to shield my family or mitigate the dangers of increased radiation that I discovered that iodine was a key component and that the government was hoarding it. But the type of iodine they're hoarding is something you only take during a huge disaster, not something that you take on a daily basis that from the research helps your glands and body overall to be healthier. That's why we developed with Dr. Edward Group Survival Shield, a proprietary new form of nascent iodine. Survival Shield has been incredibly popular because of the results people have gotten, but also because it's more palatable and easier for children to take. It's not as harsh as some of the other iodines that are out there. We innovated with Survival Shield nascent iodine, and it's still available and is excellent. But we are now very excited to introduce X2. There is no other iodine anywhere near this. The other so-called nascent iodines are black and turn black on paper. The Survival Shield nascent iodine turns electric blue purple because it's from the pure crystal. You can literally see these ancient crystals seething with the iodine. If you think Survival Shield was powerful, X2 is the next level. Take the InfoWars challenge. Regardless, you're getting high-quality iodine that on record the government admits everyone needs. It's essential, and you're supporting the very tip of the spear in revolutionary pro-liberty media. X2 from InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. There's no other iodine like it on Earth.
Election day. You can vote all week.
The Rio Riva County Clerk's Office reported this afternoon that a voter trying to cast an early ballot in Española today was told he had already voted 3 days prior.
Activist on the tape goes on to suggest that discarded ballots could be collected from what she called Ghetto Aurora, saying that African Americans and Mexicans tend to throw out their ballots.
And as for those programs we do need, I'll make them work better and I'll make them cost less.
Thousands of federal workers are issued taxpayer-funded credit cards so long as they buy items that cost less than $3,000 or micro-purchases. Our review found about $20 billion in just about the course of a year.
We'll save billions by cutting waste and improving management and strengthening oversight.
We asked all of these other major federal agencies based here in D.C. for their micro-purchase shopping lists, and all refused.
I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
The Independent Congressional Budget Office warning a new fiscal crisis is coming if Washington doesn't get its spending in check.
Raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt.
If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
From the Infowars.com studios.
First, Ebola is not spread through the air like the flu.
Ebola is capable of entering human airway cells. Ebola is primed to be able to have respiratory transmission.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones. You are either with the Republic or against it.
Welcome back to the live coverage of our pre-election coverage here at InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. I'm joined now with Leanne McAdoo. We're going to take a look at political ads that have surfaced. We're also going to look a little bit deeper as to what's behind these political ads. And, of course, that's going to be the billionaires. Now, Leanne, CNN asked the question, what could Americans have bought with the $4 billion that was spent on elections this year? And I think it's kind of interesting that, of course, they offer some suggestions. This is what you would expect from CNN. They say, well, it's 10 times more than the government could have spent fighting Ebola or more than the government would have spent on 25 F-18 fighters or more than the government would have spent on 12,000 students K-12 education. In other words, the government should own and control everything. And, of course, we see a lot of people suggesting that the government should run campaigns as part of what they call campaign finance. I have a problem with that because the same people that would be running these campaigns are the same ones who are limiting access to the ballot, who are limiting access to the debates. And so I have a real problem with that. But let's start with an Indiegogo campaign, which is essentially attached to something called the May Day PAC, which is about putting forth campaign finance reform. But it's a very, very funny campaign. This guy had a goal of $20,000. And he actually achieved $100,000 of that goal. And, of course, if you guys can pull this up, you can see some of the things that you get for participating in the campaign. They did, instead of the Obama campaign picture, they've got a picture of their candidate there. And underneath, instead of saying hope, it says sold on there. So this is Gil Fulbright, a satirical Senate candidate. And he's saying that he's running in this race in Kentucky because it's kind of a toss-up as to whether or not the Kentucky race or the North Carolina race is going to be the most expensive Senate race in American history. That's how much money is being put in a midterm election to control things. And we're going to talk about why this is happening. But let's take a look at this Senate candidate, the satirical Senate campaign ad here. This is Gil Fulbright.
Hi, I'm Gil Fulbright. The people who run my campaign, they've made this commercial, and I'm in it. This campaign, it's not about me. It's about crafting a version of me that'll appeal to you. A version that visits random work sites with paid actors pointing at things. A version of me that doesn't find old people loathsome or pointless. Has a conventionally attractive yet curiously still family. Listening to my constituents, legislating, these are things I don't do. What I do is spend about 70% of my time raising funds for re-election. I'll do anything to stay in office. My name's Gil Fulbright, but hell, I'll change my name to Phil Goldbright or Bill Fulbright or fill up my mouth with farts. These are the things that are important to me. And these are the fine people that finance my campaign. Now, in order to do these things, I have to stay in office. And to stay in office, I have to keep these guys happy. Now, if any of these things make these guys unhappy, well, my hands are tied.
So come November, the choice is clear. Do you want another spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? Or a spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists?
I'm Philip a Mouth with Farts, and I approve this message.
Okay, there you go. A brutally honest satire. And boy, that looks like the prototypical campaign ad that we've seen. Now, he points out in his Indiegogo campaign that in the Kentucky race, Mitch McConnell, 87% of the money that he's getting is from out of state. And his opponent, Grimes, is getting 75% of her money from out of state. And his solution is to take the extra money that he got in this Indiegogo campaign and to put it into a PAC that's called Mayday PAC. Now, this is a PAC that's being run by someone named Lawrence Lessig. Now, this is a guy who's a Harvard political science professor. He's a Bilderberg member. He supports a new second constitutional convention. So he's not necessarily a good guy. You have to look at this kind of resume here, and you got to say, well, when he says Mayday PAC, is he talking about Mayday in the sense that this is an emergency, or is he talking about Mayday in the sense that he wants a communist parade? I don't know. But here's the problem I see with campaign finance reform, Leanne. I don't think that it's going to do any good, because it's going to basically give the same vested interests that are in Washington, who have control over the ballots, who have control over the debates, it's going to give them absolute control over what's going on out there. Now, I understand, and we're going to talk about how billionaires are essentially setting up their own personal political action campaign committees. It's not just Bloomberg. There's a lot of billionaires who are doing this. But the problem isn't just the money. It's what's drawing the money. The fact is that we have so much power in Washington that it's like a black hole. And it's going to pull that money in. And no matter how much you try to prohibit that, you can't stop it. It's like the war on drugs. If there's a demand that's being created for this, prohibition of many of these things is just simply not going to work. There is so much money, so much power in Washington that you can't simply say, we're not going to allow anybody to have run a political ad or to use their own money. To me, what that's going to do is that's going to shut down the very last. It's not going to shut down the big guys. They'll get through these regulations. Right. It's going to shut down the small guys.
Exactly. The people like you and I who can vote, like Dinesh D'Souza there, who's getting jail time for something very minuscule. Meanwhile, we hear about Adelson or the Koch brothers or something pumping millions, billions of dollars every year for their little pet projects.
Well, he's going to jail because he supposedly bundled $20,000 for a candidate that he personally knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody, every news source is reporting that Sheldon Adelson, who's a big casino owner in Nevada, anybody that watched the 2012 elections and was following the Republican primaries to see the shenanigans that they were pulling on Ron Paul, knows what Sheldon Adelson did in Las Vegas, essentially giving millions of dollars to Newt Gingrich and trying to rig the caucus there, having a caucus on Sunday that he wanted to make for Orthodox Jews only, basically setting up a religious test saying, you can't come to this caucus, you can come to the Saturday night one, but we're not going to let you come to the Sunday night caucus. I mean, this guy throws his weight around. Now, Dinesh D'Souza is going to jail for $20,000 that he gave to somebody, but everybody is reporting that Sheldon Adelson gave Lindsey Graham $15,000 to stop online gambling that was a competition for him. It's an open secret. Nobody's making any bones about it. What he did was, he was a sophisticated guy using the rules, okay? Dinesh D'Souza is just trying to participate. He's not looking at the rules, not looking at this web of regulations that were meant to catch the small nets, mm-hmm. not the great big bumblebees like Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson probably set up a PAC, or he did something else to basically skirt the law. But everybody knows that money is coming from Sheldon Adelson, especially Lindsey Graham.
Right. Well, and they've got so many avenues to do it, the soft money, the hard money, dark money. You just really don't really know where it's coming from. And then also, here you had mentioned before how a lot of this money is coming in from out of state. Mm-hmm. So here, for just to pick on Adelson again, I mean, wasn't he pumping a lot of money into fighting against Amendment 2 there in Florida?
Yeah, that's a very interesting case, and that's one we want to talk about. Amendment 2 in Florida is the medical marijuana legal, that would make medical marijuana okay, legal in Florida. Okay, there are three areas, three ballot measures in the District of Columbia and two states, it's Alaska and I think it's Oregon, mm-hmm. where it's outright legalization. Now, Sheldon Adelson is not giving any money to those outright legalization initiatives. Instead, what he's doing is he's giving 85% of the money to defeat medical marijuana in Florida is coming from Sheldon Adelson, who lives in Las Vegas. Okay, he's a big casino owner there. So why is it? We look at the no on two proposition, and they're saying, you don't want to give people marijuana when they're sick because that's going to be a gateway opportunity for them to just have marijuana whenever they want for full out legalization. So why would he take that tack? Why would he say, we got to stop medical marijuana because it will lead to full out legalization when there's three ballot measures where they are calling for full out legalization? Well, it's pretty clear. Vice.com did an article exploring why he would be doing this. They say, is he doing this because he hates the idea of medical marijuana? And they say, well, no, actually, his family, he and his wife are major donors to a medical research facility in Tel Aviv that supports the use of marijuana to treat a number of diseases. And they say, moreover, marijuana-related initiatives are on the ballot, as I point out, in Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C., but he's only voting to defeat pot in Florida and only voting to defeat medical marijuana there. Hmm. And so they point out that he has his company, Las Vegas Sands Corporation, has desperately sought to get into Florida's lucrative table games market, which is currently controlled only by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. There you go. That's how the game is played. Now, the other big players in this are, of course, not just a gambling boss who would like to get casinos in Florida, presumptively, but you also have big pharmaceuticals and the doctors opposed to medical marijuana or any natural resource like that. And you've also got big tobacco joining with them. So it's right. kind of a interesting coupling of different interests. You've got law enforcement and a gambling boss coming together to oppose medical marijuana, and then you've got big pharmaceutical and big tobacco coming in and saying, right. well, it's bad for your health.
Right. Well, and they're going to, you know, join forces for the Ebola vaccine coming up.
Yeah.
But we'll have more coverage on the medicinal marijuana ballot initiatives, ballot measures, as well as genetically modified labeling is something that some of the states are taking a vote on as well. But that's kind of one of those things I think they're going to be waiting on, genetically modifying cannabis. Once they're able to do that and take out
yeah, if they can patent
THC,
it, they'll let you have it.
You can have your medicinal marijuana. But now,
but let's go to
back
some of these
to this Gil Fulbright ad. Now, that it's a hilarious ad. You almost vote for him just because he just puts it out there and lets you know what he's up to. And it's refreshing to have that brutal honesty. But then, you know, what's also just so brazen about it is that there are so many ads that are just like that. I mean, that is exactly what the ads are, but he's just
telling
you the
truth. Well, the funny thing is, he did this back in July, and he said, well, I'm going to, you know, pointing out the Kentucky race with Mitch McConnell and his Democrat opponent there. And so he does this personality ad, you know, look at me, I'm posing with this person, I'm posing with that person. And then let's take a look at this Mitch McConnell ad, because he did this just last week, and it's almost as if he was redoing the Gil Fulbright ad. I mean, he just goes right down the list, very self-aware, kind of, you know, talking to the viewer. Look at the issues that he discusses in this. Let's go to that. You guys got that queued up?
You know, a lot of people try to tell me how to do my commercials.
We see you between two trucks.
That sounds dangerous.
Hey, Mitch, what about using a talking baby?
That's been done before.
We'll end with you and bloodhounds.
That's not gonna work.
Maybe it's enough to say Mitch fights for Kentucky.
You know, maybe this isn't such a bad idea. I'm Mitch McConnell and I approve this message.
There you go. Substantive issues. And, you know, exactly what does Mitch McConnell stand for after all these years? Can he point to something that he's done for the people of Kentucky, for the people of America, to warrant his reelection? I guess not. Instead, what they're trying to do is give a personality to this 72-year-old piece of wood.
Right. And he says, Well, I'm above doing that, but yet he does it in his campaign ad to just kind of be a little humorous and to say, look at me. And he's, you know, he's got his buff body double there.
But that's exactly the point. They don't want to have people in the debates, third parties, independents, because it's going to cause them to focus on issues. Instead, they can basically throw bricks at each other. They can play the race card. They can play the sexism card. They can do all this stuff and attack each other personally. But, you know, if you got a third person in there and these two major guys start attacking each other personally like that, it makes them look like a couple of babies in a playpen because they won't talk about the issues. But that's precisely why they keep independents and third party out of the debates.
Yeah, and just really going after people and attacking them rather than taking a positive tone and saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is, you know, this is my voting record. This is where I stand. But, you know, Mitch McConnell, you nailed it when you said he really didn't take the opportunity to, you know, let people know what he's all about. He's just like, oh, people love puppies. I'll have these puppies here in my video. But he's got another campaign video that came out, and it's actually so creepily funny that it's got its own hashtag. They call it McConnelling. It's called McConnelling, and I guess that's something that the kids are doing now. You can upload a video to Vine or Twitter or Instagram or something and hashtag McConnelling. Take a look at this video. We don't have to watch the whole thing, but in the whole, it's about 2.5 minutes long
of him saying beginning.
Nothing. He says absolutely nothing in the video. He just wants you to understand that. He fights for Kentucky. See if you get that.
This is kind of like a dramatic chipmunk.
Right.
Except the music's not as good.
So you can just creepily look into the camera and give a little...
There you go.
A half-hearted Mona Lisa smile. So there it is. Working
And
hard.
It just goes on.
Yeah.
It just goes on. And on and on and on.
Working hard for Kentucky.
The next one we got here, Monkey on Your Back. Which one?
Yeah. Well, this one, let's see. The Daily Beast actually compiled a list of strange political ads. And this one here is just a little bit bizarre because they're she is talking about how they're spending so much money in the government. And this one is just the production value, I guess. And she literally has a monkey on her back.
820,000 of our tax dollars were spent studying how monkeys respond to unfairness and how they act while on cocaine. Think about that. That's how outrageous the spending in Washington has gotten. Yet it's so common, half the time we don't even notice. Our country is being bankrupted, and John Barrow is voting with Barack Obama to do it. It's time to pay attention.
The National Republican
Okay, so she's talking about a big study where they wanted to see how monkeys react to unfairness and to cocaine. I guess I could just look at Congress.
Right.
How Congress reacts to unfairness and cocaine, you know, because they're probably the biggest drug runners going, the U.S. government.
Exactly.
Let's go to the next one here. Introduce that.
Well, this next ad, I just wanted to throw it in there because it seems like, I mean, even here with the monkey on the back and things like that, it's just trying to be outrageous. How can we capture the minds of the people? But this next ad has really bad production value, so there's a little audio issue in the front, but it kind of took a creepy turn there. You'll just have to take a look at the end.
Will Rogers said there are three kinds of men. The one that learns by reading, the few that learn by observation, and the rest have to pee on an electric fence.
We've seen it over and over. Politicians run for office for personal gain and don't know how to make hard decisions. With recent bailouts, unemployment, and debt, they clearly don't have the experience needed to lead our country. My name is Roland Sledge, and I've spent 35 years working in the oil and gas
industry. Wait for it.
I have the experience needed to bring Texas jobs. Isn't it about time we elected political leaders that have sense enough not to pee on electric fences?
Yeah, there you go. Let's kind of talk about cheesy production
Sledge
values.
There. Yeah, but it's, you know, there have been other campaign videos out there where they've got naked people in swimming pools, talking about how their opponents like to, you know, go swimming in the nude and things like that. So I just, where are we in the political spectrum when...
Well, this next one that you got on here, the Wendy Davis wheelchair ad, this got a lot of national attention.
Controversial, yeah.
Wendy Davis, for those of you who don't know or maybe watching from another country, she's someone who is a state legislator who came to prominence because she did a filibuster essentially against some regulations against abortion. Basically, what they wanted to do was to make sure that abortion clinics had medical facilities to handle an emergency. And the people who supported abortion said, you can't do that. That'll shut down clinics. And it's like, really? Well, then what is your concern about the health of the woman if you don't have the capacity to handle that? But she did a filibuster and got a lot of attention with the Democrats. And most of the Democrats in this state decided wisely to pass on running for governor in Obama's midterms because I think they could smell a skunk coming on. But Wendy Davis picked up the mantle, and then she came after Greg Abbott, who is the Republican candidate, and he is a lawyer who is in a wheelchair. Actually, he's the attorney general right now, running for governor, and this is her ad.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott. He sued and got millions. Since then, he's spent his career working against other victims. Abbott argued a woman whose leg was amputated was not disabled because she had an artificial limb. He ruled against a rape victim who sued a corporation for failing to do a background check on a sexual predator. He sided with a hospital that failed to stop a dangerous surgeon who paralyzed patients. Greg Abbott, he's not for you.
There you go. So what do you think about that?
Well, on the one hand, I can see why there, you know, she was trying to point out the irony, and he himself had suffered something that caused him to be in a wheelchair. And then she points out these three instances where, you know, he voted against people getting disability and things like that. But I mean, if we're going to start suing corporations for not doing background checks, then everyone here could sue the TSA because they've caught zero terrorists. Meanwhile, they are not doing background checks and they're employing sexual predators and people that are stealing things out of your luggage when they're supposed to be, you know, protecting you. So we could, I mean, that'll sort of spiral into a precedent.
But I think a key thing in this, this is a very sophisticated, expensive ad. Had a Madison Avenue type people behind it. When you have the large candidates like this or the large budgets, there's a lot behind the symbolism. And so I think that she took a major hit on this because it was perceived that they were working at a psychological level to criticize him as somehow being weak or whatever.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of, on the sophisticated stuff, we just showed that the one with the peeing on the fence and the monkey on the back. I mean, those are laughable in terms of their production value. They're not very sophisticated. But when you look up market, when you look at the presidential campaigns, when you look at the campaigns for governor where they have a lot of money, there is a lot of psychological manipulation in there, and everything that they put in there is very carefully scrutinized and focus tested. So they have a very clear subliminal message there as well as the overt message.
Right. I don't really see how her campaign could have missed that. But obviously suffered lot of backlash.
And then people said, so what is your point here about people in wheelchair? You know, that was
like
backfiring.
He can't be the governor. And,
okay, so now let's go back to another cheesy one here, Sharknado.
Well, we know Sharknado was, a huge thing. It even got a sequel because it was just so campy and wonderful. I don't know. but this one has to deal with a lone Sharknado, and this is some impressive camera work there. Production value.
Dark clouds are gathering, and Gary Peters is in the eye of the storm, funded by a convicted felon, connected to a loan shark ring, run by an international gangster, who also contributed to Peters' campaign.
This Gary is what Peters people get, you know? Sharknado. They like watching the...
Coming soon to a voting booth
cartoons.
Near
you. Or adult cartoons.
So I have no idea what that's about. You know, I know what a loan shark is. And basically, since we repealed the laws on usury at the end of, when we went into runaway
inflation. Hey guys, I want to jump in here for a second.
Everybody is essentially letting doing loan
sharks. Hey, David, Jakari just mentioned that was the worst voiceover we've heard all day today. and I totally agree.
Yeah,
that was by far the worst. It was kind of a funny ad, though. That was like animation circa 2002, like Jib Jab type animation.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, if it's bad enough, it'll get a lot of attention.
Get your attention, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it is time. By the way, you know, when we look at what happened, that we used to always have a loan shark. Used to be somebody that would charge 20-30% interest. Now that's considered a bargain, because we allow our corporate banks to do that, even though we have such an incredibly low inflation rate, okay, to allow these credit card companies, and I think charge 20-30% interest. I mean, where are our elected representatives? I wish they really would go after some of these loan sharks, because that is the worst kind of profiteering, when they can get money for nothing from the Federal Reserve and loan it out 20-40%. It's outrageous that they would be allowed to do that to people. We always had a cap before of 10% that was removed when inflation got out of control under Jimmy Carter, and it's time they put something like that back in, because it's absolutely obscene. They get away with it because there's collusion, because there's a smaller number of banks in business, and so basically if they're all charging it, you have nowhere else to go.
Right. So many predators there in positions of power to be checked. Now, let's back it up a little bit. We'll pull up a couple of articles, but you mentioned just the sophistication with some of these ads and really kind of getting to the psyche of the people. Well, obviously, the Democratic vote, they typically will have the African-American, the black pocket voters, that they're just going to vote Democrat. So you see people are kind of turning against that now, and they're speaking up and saying, you know what? We've been voting for these bad policies. They're destroying our community. And maybe we've been led down the wrong path. Our black leadership is failing us. And so rather than, and sorry to, you know, make this a left-right thing, but rather than the Democrats point out, well, we hear you, we see what's happening in your communities, we see that this over-militarization of the police, we see that, you know, there are black men dying in record numbers.
Which they don't care. They haven't nobody spoken out about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But what they do go for is the tried and true race baiting. And that's what they think. And so there was an ad. Let's see. I have that on a SoundCloud there for you guys. I don't know if we can play that. But it's basically they pull in the Trayvon Martin case. And they know that that's going to pull on the emotions of black voters out there, and, you know, anyone that was really riled up about the Trayvon Martin shooting, and just kind of pointing that out. But they go to those, they talk about Ferguson and things like that, where it's really going to say, these people aren't like you, so you don't vote for them.
We notice how they talk about Ferguson. Mm-hmm. They'll focus on the racial part of it, but they won't talk about police brutality or anything else. And, of course, you know, I'm not saying that, I don't know how that, you know, how that's going to ultimately shake out. It looks like they're not going to indict the guy. But, and the very fact that they waited so long to introduce evidence that might have cleared him, I think that is very suspicious, that they wanted to see something like this. I think Mary Landrieu is the perfect example of it, because it's not just the black vote, but it's also the woman's vote, which has reliably gone for Democrats. And so when Mary Landrieu looks like she's going to lose reelection to the Senate in Louisiana, she says it's because Louisiana is racist.
And sexist.
And sexist, yes. because they don't like Obama because they're racist, and they don't like Mary Landrieu because they're sexist. Even though she has been elected 3 times and Obama has been elected twice, it's about their policies.
Right.
It's really about their policies, but they can't accept responsibility for their policies. Their policies can't be wrong. It has to be about them personally. Same thing that we're seeing with Mitch McConnell. They try to make it about the person. You know, you like this person or you don't like this. All identity politics.
Or Charlie Rangel is famous for that. He says, some Republicans believe that slavery isn't over. They still think they're in the Civil War. They don't realize, you know, it's... Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, he goes and does this.
Except Charlie Rangel is in the party that... the Grand Dragon or whatever Byrd was in. I mean, you know, he was, Senator Byrd was a Ku Klux Klan guy.
Right. Well,
because he had no problem with him when he was a Democrat.
Right. Well, we've got another political ad. It's not necessarily for a certain candidate, but it does kind of really draw attention to this fact that people aren't, you know, really focusing on the fact that there is an over-militarization of the police, and this campaign ad is basically saying, vote or buy a vest, meaning young black men are going to need to just go ahead and buy a vest if they don't vote properly.
Wow. Of course, they're going to ban those as well.
Yeah.
Randy. Did you study?
Yes.
You studied?
Yes, Mom.
You know, baby, I'm gonna need you to wear that vest today.
Mom, are you serious? I'm not gonna wear that vest.
I need to know when I'm at work that you're going to be safe. Do it for me.
All right, Mom, I'll do it for you.
She's putting a vest on him.
Right. And people want to, you know, they want to make this racial thing about Ferguson, but this is what people have to consider. I mean,
Yeah, that's the thing. Is that, you know, when I was at the Bundy Ranch show, we were talking about Ferguson earlier, and I got to say, the people there did it right. They stood up, they passively resisted, they understood who it was that was pointing guns all week at everybody. Of course, the press spent it around and said that it was they had a picture of one guy on the bridge that was pointing a gun. They didn't show the BLM pointing the guns. They didn't talk about the BLM pointing guns all week at everybody. They didn't talk about the BLM taking people down. But the people there at the Bundy Ranch and their neighbors had just had enough of that kind of intimidation. They quietly got together and just went up there and said, "You're going to give us back our property, and we want our rights back as well." They understood what it was about. That was a very, very powerful moment. I've had a police officer contact me and talk about a document he had seen that, you know, the Homeland Security was very concerned about that. They thought that was a seminal moment. And I think it was a seminal moment. I mean, mm-hmm. It caused them to expose, you know, one of their chief assets with, you know, Glenn Beck coming out and making some outrageous claims about that. So it's very important for us to understand what the solutions are to these things, not get sidetracked into the racial issues, but understand that this is about an abuse of power. And that's something that we can all support. You don't have to be black or white, but they want to keep people focused and pitted against each other, because if they break us into different groups, different racial groups, different language groups, different sex groups, then they can pit man against woman and black against white and Spanish against English and everything. They don't want it to be about an abuse of power. They don't want it to be about individual liberty. Let's take a break, and after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Democrats that are running from Obama, and we're going to be right back after the... Before we go to break, Dew is telling me that Biggs has got some stuff on the Twitter wall. Biggs?
Hey, Joe Biggs here. Also, I want you guys to check out the new Mulan Labe shirt right here. This is a new shirt we got in at the InfoWars store. So definitely go there and pick one of those up. I like mine. It's pretty awesome. But I want to get to one of these, a couple tweets. Now, some of them are pretty interesting. Let me see. Here we go. Are there any candidates stating that they would be willing to impeach Obama?
I haven't heard any say that.
That is from at Lance True Patriot.
See, I've heard just the opposite from Boehner. You know, he famously said that he's not going to do anything to impeach Obama. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in depth tomorrow as part of our election coverage, bringing not only the results, but we're going to talk about what it's going to look like after the election. Of course, we're all concerned about what Obama is going to do as a lame duck president with his pen and his cell phone. there's no telling what he's going to do. And we're also concerned about what they're covering up as far as Ebola is concerned, what he's going to do in terms of blanket amnesty. And of course, with all of this, I don't see the Republican leadership, certainly not in the Senate either. If Mitch McConnell gets in there, I don't see McConnell or Boehner doing anything about that. I think the leadership will shut that down if there's a few people that do want to have impeachment. What do you think?
Well, I think some people are saying that with even the Bo Bergdahl swap, that was just by not letting Congress know, giving that 30-day notice with that is an impeachable offense. I mean, there's so many things that keep piling up. But Dan Bongino actually spoke with Alex Jones about that, and he said that we just haven't been able to really get full public support for something like that. And you would have to build a whole case for indictment, and that's just not going to happen without that support that you need to do that.
Well, see, the problem is that I have a real problem with people not trying. You know, yeah, I think the biggest failure is the failure to try. And I think we would have a lot more confidence, and we would see who the real men are if they would stand up and do the right thing, regardless of the consequences.
Right.
That's the issue. Are you going to do the right thing? And the answer is a resounding no from the GOP. I don't think that we're going to see any movement on that. You got anything else, Joe?
Do any of you guys vote? And if so, why?
Go ahead. You want to take it?
Well, of course I vote. I think that voting, I mean, even the last election, last two elections, actually, if I had to write in Ron Paul's name and everyone says, well, your vote is going to be wasted. Why would you do that? You're here in Texas. You've got to vote for this guy or that guy. But I refuse to vote for the lesser of two evils. That doesn't even sound right on your conscience. Why would you go that route? And just like you said, the failure to try, I don't want to buy into that meme, really, that your vote doesn't count. And that if you vote for someone who's not a favored party, that your vote is wasted. Because more people need to speak up about that and to really say, well, why wasn't Ron Paul, for instance, brought into the debates? He was running second in so many different polls, but they completely hid him from that. And people just kind of sat back and said, oh, it's all rigged.
Yeah.
And that's what they want us to believe.
You got to think a lot of those guys, you know, Ron Paul could have made it if they actually let the votes count of the soldiers that are deployed. Now, these guys get these absentee ballots, but they don't even make it out of Afghanistan to be counted. They said the only time that they may possibly bring in these absentee ballots, these soldiers fill out. I mean, on top of that, they're out there fighting for their country. The only way their vote can count is if it's a very, very close race. Then they'll allow someone to fly those votes over and possibly be counted. Yeah, that's something else that needs to be looked into as well.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm skeptical about elections, but I'm not a cynic about elections. I feel like even if it's just out of desperation, I think we ought to do everything possible that we can. But I think that there's a lot of value in people seeing the corruption of the system. And I think a lot of people saw that with Ron Paul. I mentioned that earlier. You know, it was a real quixotic thing. He didn't have a chance of winning the first two times he ran, once as a Libertarian, once as a Republican. The second time, I think it was stolen from him. And I think people saw that. It's important for people to understand what's going on. So from one aspect, you could say elections can be about educating people about issues. We try to do that all the time here at InfoWars Nightly News and with Alex Jones's radio show, try to educate people about the issues and what's behind it. But I think that's an important thing for them to see the corruption in the electoral system. And I think it needs to be addressed directly. It's not happening. We're going to be talking tomorrow to Bev Harris, who's with Black Box Voting. There's other projects out there like True the Vote that watches the election polls. There's a lot of ways that people can get involved. But I think at the local level, a lot of people are so focused on the upper parts of the ballot ticket that they don't look downstream, look at their neighbor who they may know that this person is an honest person. We've got a couple of people running here in Austin that I trust and I've talked to personally. You have to not be a total cynic. You have to get involved. You have to do the right thing, just like we were talking about before. What do you think of these Republicans who see all the illegal actions of Obama and then just say, yeah, but, you know, I couldn't really win if I went up against him, so I'm just not going to do anything? I mean, are we going to be like those Republicans? Are we going to be that cynical, that focused on saying, well, I can't win, so I'm not going to try anything? Sometimes you don't know what you can do until you try. I think you ought to always give it the best try that you can.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Joe? One more?
One more. This is from at Grown Folks TV One. Do you really think Dems will lose the Senate?
Well, Washington Post says gives that about a 97% chance. I think the New York Times gave it like 90%. I think the lowest that I've seen is like a 68% probability that will happen. It looks like from people who analyze this, so if you look at the Washington Post, they're going in state by state, and they're saying that they have a 99% certainty that this person's going to win here and on a state-by-state basis. I think the one, as I was just kind of going over it with a mouse and looking at the different ones, I think the one that they had the least certainty about was North Carolina, where they had said it was an 80% probability that that would go to Kay Hagan, who's the Democrat incumbent there. That's a good example of somebody who is a very strong Obama supporter. Down the line, Democrat has virtually voted with him on every issue except one judge that he put up for nomination, distancing herself from Obama, but not so much that the people don't want her. It's that the Republicans have basically put up a non-entity there, somebody who is they obviously recognize as something that is just a, somebody who's a puppet for corporate control, and that's Tom Tillis. Once the Republicans got control of the House in North Carolina, in the 2010 elections, he was made the Speaker of the House over a guy who really was a kind of Tea Party candidate, Skip Stam, who is a straight-up guy there. And again, there are good people in politics.
Right.
There are good, honest people in politics. And what the Republican machinery did was they took somebody who had only been in one or two terms before that, put him over the guy who had been a minority leader for a very, very long time, who was an honest Tea Party guy. They put Tom Tillis in as Speaker of the House, and then the next thing you know, he's running for Senate.
Right. And
they got the Tea Party candidate out in the primaries.
And it's such an important election year because there are only six seats that could make a difference in who will control the Senate. And the Dems know they're down, and that's why you kind of see there's not a lot of talk on, you know, ABC, NBC, not a lot of talk about.
Well, the GOP is going to get their majority in spite of this race. But I tell you what, if they hadn't scuttled the candidacy of the Tea Party candidate there in North Carolina, he would be way up over Kay Hagan, and we'd have a real representative. But they don't want that. I think they'd rather have somebody who's going to follow the same line. They've got Tweedledee and Tweedledum are the choices there on the ballot for Senate in North Carolina.
Right.
We're going to be right back. We're going to take a short break. Join us again when we come back. We're going to be talking about Democrats who are running as hard as they can from Obama. Stay with us.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Globalists have controlled the mainstream media for a long time, but now they're expanding, making the weaponization even more vicious and deceptive. All the major networks are state-run.
We are partnering this year with the NFL.
The NFL has become a political weapon against the Second Amendment and pushes Obamacare. MSNBC tells us that our children belong to the state.
We have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
The brainwashing media machine has been turned up on high, and it's time for humanity to double down on the true people's media and strike back against the tyrants that are destroying our civilization with their lies and fraud. We are the resistance. You are the resistance. You are the InfoWar. It is more important than ever to realize that we are not the alternative media. We are the true media. The establishment dinosaur press is dying.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
Join us at InfoWarsNews.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Members can share their memberships with up to 11 people. By subscribing, you will literally be buying war bonds in the InfoWar to expand our operation in the face of the tyrants. Join us at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out.
You now know it as Survival Shield, true nascent iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Super Male Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Have controlled the mainstream media for a long time, but now they're expanding, making the weaponization even more vicious and deceptive. All the major networks are state-run.
We are partnering this year with the NFL.
The NFL has become a political weapon against the Second Amendment and pushes Obamacare. MSNBC tells us that our children belong to the state.
We have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
The brainwashing media machine has been turned up on high, and it's time for humanity to double down on the true people's media and strike back against the tyrants that are destroying our civilization with their lies and fraud. We are the resistance. You are the resistance. You are the info war. It is more important than ever to realize that we are not the alternative media. We are the true media. The establishment dinosaur press is dying.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
Join us at InfoWarsNews.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Members can share their memberships with up to 11 people. By subscribing, you will literally be buying war bonds in the info war to expand our operation in the face of the tyrants. Join us at PrisonPlanet.tv. We have done it. With Dr. Group's help, we have developed the ultimate male vitality supplement with 8 concentrated super herbs. This is the answer to the globalist war on male vitality with the estrogen mimickers they've added to the food and the water supply. And now our test pilot, our Chuck Yeager, Dr. Edward Group, is here to test his greatest invention. Doctor?
Thank you, Alex. I will now take 2 droppers to test this ultimate male vitality formula.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a momentous moment. Thank you, Dr. Group.
I will activate my muscles by doing push-ups.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is the move. This is unprecedented. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see what happens right now. Oh, my God! What the hell? Wait. Get out of here. Shut this down. This is not safe. This is not. Hold on. Settle down. Get another doctor. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with him. Help him. Ladies and gentlemen, we did not intend for that to happen. I take it personally. Do not have those problems. Again, these are authorized herbs, well known to be safe. Please, doctor, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to cut to commercial for just a moment. Cut. Get everybody out of here.
Super Male Vitality. It's awesome. Just not this awesome.
Oh, my God! What the hell? Ladies and gentlemen, the dramatization you've just seen is just that. It is satire to illustrate in a satirical way the incredible power of Super Male Vitality. It will not turn you into Conan the Barbarian, but it will help block some of the estrogen mimickers and reportedly let your glands produce the natural hormones your body needs. It also does have some other side effects in the human testing that we discovered, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to illustrate right now what that is. Let's see if I can do it again. It takes some focus. Up, up, and away!
Start your journey to Super Male Vitality today at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
Welcome back to our live coverage, our pre-election coverage here at InfoWars Nightly News. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, thanks for joining us, but you know, you can join us every night at 7 Central if you become a Prison Planet TV subscriber, and of course that helps to support our operation. And you have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries as well that you can share with 11 people simultaneously if you pass around your password. Of course, we encourage that to happen. Again, you can join us every night at 7 Central. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be starting a little bit early with our live election results. We're going to start at 6 p.m. Central time. So join us then. Now, joining us tonight is Anthony Gucciardi and is also back again as Leanne McAdoo. We're going to be talking about what Democrats, how they're reacting to Obama, how they're running from Obama. He's become something of an albatross, hasn't he?
That's true. But guess what, David and Leanne? I have great news. The New York Post today, the headline story, we don't have to worry about election fraud. We don't have to worry about Kellogg's being loaded with GMOs, which just came out in a consumer study. We don't have to worry about anything. In fact, everything is fine because according to the New York Post, amid all this election fury, the top story is titled, this is real, actually I have the screenshot right here, The Fruitful Sex Lives of the Original Siamese Twins. The top breaking headline story. This is no joke.
I was worried.
Nothing about Bat Boy. I mean,
above Ebola, Bob Hope, Virgin Galactic, everything. The Fruitful Sex Lives of the Original Siamese Twins. So let me just say something. It's time to stop taking the mainstream media seriously. It's time to stop going to these worthless websites because you're not going to get news or information. The last 15 seconds of this broadcast, which was live, when you guys were talking about those ridiculous videos and everything, was more informational loaded than 50 articles on the New York Post today, all about the Siamese sex lives and golfers and how much money they make and their stupid girlfriends and everything. Just worthless garbage. And it reminds me of the elections.
Yeah.
Because it's all a political facade. Mm-hmm. But deep down, you were saying earlier, you know, people ask, well, why do you write someone's name in on the ballot? Why do you write Ron Paul in? Or why do you even support Ron Paul in the first place? Because he'll never win. Well, first and foremost, he probably would win if the media actually treated him with some respect. And secondly, he probably would win if the voting machines weren't 100% rigged. Right. But the most important thing is anyone should run because it actually spreads a message, because it gets media coverage. Why do we do publicity stunts? Why do we do anything? To get the word out. It's not about even winning at the end of the day. It's important to vote for a real candidate because of their message. It gets out in the media. It gives them publicity. It gives them reality. It gives them things that aren't the fruitful sex lives of the original Siamese twins.
Yeah.
It gives them real articles and real news and real information. And I want to hear your take on it. And I want to talk about a story in a little bit here. I was privy to someone I know, a contact of mine, was running. And he doesn't like it, but he's one of those people, I'm just doing my job. Basically, a Democratic PR front where they go around and pass out pamphlets and stuff for the Democratic Party up in New York and New Jersey. And they take that, they take the response of these individuals, they poll them, say, hey, who are you going to vote for today? Who are you going to vote for tomorrow? And they take down the results and bring it back to the polling agencies. And they get paid $10, $15 an hour. It's, you know, they get to work sometimes 12 hours a day. Anyway, he was telling me some very, very interesting news about how the polls are actually completely bogus and how these people are literally, this is just some of it, throwing flyers at people's door just so they can get paid and write it off, and then saying, yes, they told me they're going to vote for this candidate. So,
oh, but it goes beyond somebody just trying to collect a paycheck.
Oh, I mean,
they do push polls to say, you know, by the way, did you know that so-and-so, you know, beat his wife? And so, yeah, they'll do that type of thing. But then they'll also deliberately skew the polls, famously keeping people off of the polls and then saying, well, because you didn't poll high on our poll, you can't get into the debates. That's what they did to Gary Johnson last time. A two-term Republican governor not allowed to participate in the Republican debates, even though he was elected by a larger margin and a larger margin in the reelection campaign in a heavily Democratic state. So that's exactly what you don't want somebody like that running for president that could pull from both sides. Keep him out. Keep him off of the polls. So they use these polls they have two different uses. They'll report something to manipulate public opinion, but they do really want to know what you're thinking. That's one of the reasons I vote.
Well, it's interesting because at a bureaucratic level, all the levels are so ruined. It's kind of like that guy that was found to be, he was like 450 pounds. He was some top bureaucrat, and he was always eating donuts and falling asleep for 2 hours and then going home and making $450,000 a year. But I'm talking about what's interesting to me. Of course, we know there's corruption, deep, deep corruption, the voting machines, everything, smear campaigns, it's all bogus. But even at the lowest levels, the fundamental gathering of this information, not even the smearing and contortionist attitude of these polling companies, but the fundamental gathering now is so bad that these Democrats are actually going around just throwing flyers at people's windows and just writing down, yes, Mr. Johnson said he will definitely be voting along with his whole family for the Democratic National Party. Like, it's completely slime from the bottom up.
We were talking about that. There was an interesting article that we had. I don't know where it is in the stack, but actually the Democrats sent out a thing threatening Democrat voters. Like, you know, we noticed that you hadn't voted, giving them a grade, you know, as if they were in school and you know, say, we're going to be watching as if it's going to go on their permanent record. I mean, you're resorting back to this fear that is installed in everybody at the government schools about, you know, they're going to give you a grade and they're going to put it on your permanent record if you don't show up and vote, you know, doing that to people that they believe are going to reliably vote Democrat.
Well, you know, Monsanto and the government are basically the same thing, right? It reminds me of, I believe it was Prop 37, the GMO labeling initiative in California. Do you know what the FDA actually didn't call out Monsanto on, but kind of did? Monsanto went around with flyers with an FDA logo with a fake quote that didn't exist from the FDA, claiming it was from the FDA, saying GMOs are 100% natural and they're the same exact thing as conventional food. And they put it in a flyer and they were like, the FDA thinks GMO labeling is bad. It's the same thing as natural food. And they sent it all out. They sent out like tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of these flyers. And I was on the press call, LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, me, and like two other organizations. And they were calling them out, the individuals that were positioning for GMO labeling, saying, hey, look, you know, look, LA Times, look, New York Times, this is illegal. This is a federal crime. I mean, we looked at an example for one example where this woman, she did mail fraud because she used a federal symbol on her mail to scam people. And she went to jail for like 25 years. And Monsanto puts an FDA seal, a fake quote from the FDA. And what does the New York Times, the LA Times, Washington Post, all those guys, what do? They don't say like, Monsanto criminally justifies, you know, anti-GMO labeling. No, they were like, pro-GMO labeling group claims Monsanto may have done something wrong, but probably not.
Well, there's a different standard for them, of course, just like there's a different standard for HSBC or for Bank of America. Whenever they get caught laundering money for drug cartels, millions or billions of dollars, they basically get a small fine and are let go. Meanwhile, we see small businesses accused of structuring deposits. So they say, well, we think that you had more money and you were holding it back so that you wouldn't get to the magical $10,000 deposit number, so that you want to avoid some paperwork. So we think you're holding that back. So we're just going to seize all of your cash.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the difference in the rules. I think it was amazing that just this last week, and we had it on our trailer, one of these trailers bringing us in here, $20 billion in Washington that was basically on a black budget. They give these different bureaucracies of federal employees. Yeah, they just broke. They give them these credit cards, and as long as they make, quote-unquote, micro purchases of under $3,000 that doesn't get reported, aren't they structuring their purchases the same as these businesses are accused of structuring their deposits? These guys are definitely structuring their purchases to avoid
Starbucks.
Exactly $30,000 at Starbucks, but $20 billion, $3,000 or less at a time, and nobody can see where it's going. I mean, they're doing exactly the same thing that they're then accusing small businesses of. Many of them are not doing that. Many of them are just making deposits as the money comes in or when they can make it to the bank or whatever. They're not deliberately trying to hide money from the IRS. I mean, that money is in the banking system anyway, so it certainly is reported as income when they put it into the bank.
Well, of course, the IRS can be criminals. It's perfectly fine.
Right, yeah. not we the people.
Just a double standard, yes.
But if you make $5,000 more than you say on your income statement because you had to buy bare essentials for your family, then you're going to go to jail.
Right. Yeah.
But they
yeah.
can buy billions of dollars of black assets, and they can go to Starbucks and buy $30,000 on your bill, and Obama can stay in the nicest hotels and resorts, and so can Bill Clinton, and everything's fine. But isn't it so weird that there's this a facade around us that there's some type of support for these criminals? I don't think there is.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fake support through MSNBC and everything is purported to, it's like pushed on us like mind beams, like everyone loves Obama. But we read the polls, we read the stats, no one does. We read the polls and the stats on these candidates. We know who's going to win. We know that even a facade of being real is going to get people in office. I mean, look at all the Republicans running right now just saying, Obama's bad. Yes, and then everyone loves them. It's so simple because there's no real support.
Right.
So it's like we're battling against these media entities that puff themselves up. It's like an animal in the wild or a dog. You know, what does a dog do, or a cat even, when they're in the wild and they're going to be attacked? They go like this, and their fur raises up, and they show their fangs and everything, and it looks like a bigger animal. Or a bear stands up like this. That's actually how you defeat other animals, is you go like that as well. Mm-hmm. It's just this fake support. The media, MSNBC specifically, I hate them the most, they just kind of puff up their fur and puff up their teeth and make themselves look intimidating when they're worthless. They have nothing.
Well, they're getting a lot of money. Yeah, they're getting a lot of money on this election. I mean, they're spending $4 billion on ads, most of that going to companies like MSNBC or the major three networks. And so they have a vested interest in this political system, $4 billion worth just in this election. And we see the amount of money that's being spent on the elections going up exponentially. Why? Because it's getting pulled into this black hole of power and influence in Washington. No campaign finance reform is going to stop that. You've got to stop the power that's in Washington. You've got to find some way to divide that. That was the fundamental principle this country was built on, was divided power. But they have consolidated power, and then they work on dividing the people. And so, of course, we now have Mary Landrieu saying this is just because you don't like blacks and women.
Well,
but they're running from Obama, Leanne, and that's the key thing that we wanted to point out in this segment right here, is just how desperate they are to distance themselves. We can see that in the Kentucky race, can't we?
Right, and will that strategy work? Can they run fast enough?
Mm-hmm.
Now, even just last year when everyone was so pumped about Obamacare and they thought it was just going to be this great thing, and the president was able to get this universal health care, and they said that the Democratic strategy would be to own Obamacare, and now no one's talking about it. And mm-hmm. in fact, they have pushed back the fees. People won't even find out how much their health care is going to cost until after the election. Mm-hmm. And those exemptions, remember we were reporting last year about, oh my goodness, that all of these exemptions, because we knew it wouldn't work, exemptions for businesses, exemptions for those people who wanted to keep their plan. Well, all of those are also set to expire right after the election. So everyone's going to find out just what Obamacare is really all about. So no one's touching it. Just like they're really silent on immigration ever since everyone was pointing out how wide open the borders are, and how all of these, because of the fact that sweeping amnesty is about to be passed, there is just this influx of illegal immigrant children coming in, and where are we putting them? And then there's these diseases, and why do we have homeless veterans, and the veterans can't get into the VA, but yet we're getting these 5-star hotels for people who aren't even citizens of this country, and, you know, paying double to foster these kids than what we pay to foster American children. So just all sorts of bad news for this immigration. And now no one's talking about it. And they're probably just going to let Obama, because he is so unpopular, he'll just get his pen and his phone and pass this sweeping immigration reform after the election. And then once again, if that doesn't work out, they can blame it on Obama.
Well, you know, it's become a given that the political party that's in power is going to lose support in midterm elections.
Why is that? It's because they're betraying their base. I mean, look at how Obama has betrayed his base. If Obamacare is good for his base even, wouldn't he let these numbers come out before the election? Wouldn't he want people to see what the premiums are going to be if they were, in fact, going to go down? Wouldn't he want, and he and his Hollywood supporters, wouldn't they want to have a film about how Obama had brought the out-of-control intelligence agencies and spying? Wouldn't they like to see how he stopped that? Oh, he didn't. That's right. That's right. He didn't do that, did he? So they got to hide that until after the election.
Right. They don't want it to hurt the Dems.
Well, here's some real simple proof that Obamacare will not work outside of the other 50,000 proofs that already exist. Look at the handling of the Ebola situation by the government. Look at the lack of basic protective gear in the hospitals given to the nurses. Look at the lack of basic understanding by the CDC on how to control it. Look at the lack of understanding and actual prosecution of anything. Look at the way they mishandled it to the point now where they're saying there's going to be at least a few cases in every single major city.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's the same system that Obamacare is built upon. Worship the government will protect you. Well, guess what? The government did not protect you. The government is not going to protect you.
And we had a story this week about scientists saying 130 cases by the end of the year. We see the government ordering massive, massive quantities of hazmat suits. So this
secretly.
Is something, exactly, secretly. They're not making
right.
any. Meanwhile, you know, they're telling everybody, it's under control, not going to happen, not going to come to the U.S. I mean, the day that he made
millions
that announcement at the CDC
suits.
In Atlanta, that was when the story broke. That this Lakeland Industries or whatever the company was, it sold 160,000 hazmat suits to the U.S. government. That was when Paul Watson broke that story.
Yeah.
So, you know, it, at the same time you say it's not coming to the U.S., they're
right.
buying massive
yeah.
tens of thousands just to Dallas.
Right.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
if you think Obamacare
quarter million,
is going to save
yeah.
you, look at what the government has saved you from with Ebola. They've helped you to such a large degree that they're just shipping people here now from Africa with Ebola, saying everything's fine. The major scientists say, oh, it's great. It's amazing. Ship them all here. Obamacare is going to be a failure, proven 100% by the response to Ebola and a million other things.
Absolutely, because it's about open borders. That's the most important thing. Let's go to Jakari. This, of course, is a live broadcast, and we are taking your questions and comments on Twitter. And right now we've got Jakari Jackson at the Twitter station looking at your tweets. Jakari, what have you got?
I think
we don't have him on audio. Hang on a second.
Do you have me
yeah.
on?
Oh,
okay.
There we go.
Okay, there we go.
We got you.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
A little bit of technical difficulty. We have this live broadcast that we definitely appreciate everybody joining us. Infowars.com/show. And we had a tweet a guy sent out, Privacy Plate. He had the comment, super live show tonight. If I had any money, I'd get your shirt, referencing Joe Biggs' shirt. So Privacy Plate, send us an email at infowars.com. Tips at InfoWars at the writers or Joe Biggs at the InfoWars address, and we'll try to get you a T-shirt, put your size and all that stuff in there. Meanwhile, you can also go to the InfoWars shop and pick up some of our great gear there. We have one of our newer shirts, the Resist Tyranny shirt, and also the Molon Labe hats and all the things available there. And I have a question, I guess, for Anthony. Jonathan Jonas asked the question, what's a good cure for the Ebola virus? And I know there's not so much a cure-all for the Ebola virus, but Anthony, I think you did put out that article a few weeks ago talking about natural remedies to combat the Ebola virus.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't go ahead and say there's going to be a quote-unquote cure for the Ebola virus because research does exist. And there is information out there, but the problem is they take these natural compounds, they look at them like the 2010 Harvard research, which details mannose binding lectins. And so that's something that you genealogically produce with a bolstered immune system, mannose binding lectins, which are these compounds that basically disable the Ebola virus when it comes to studies in rats. So the rats were given, that was actually mice. Mice were given expanded mannose binding lectins through a bolstered immune system, and they were able to disable the replication of the Ebola virus. Now, how do you do that? You have a bolstered immune system, which comes down to the function of vitamins and minerals and nutrients and everything like that. I do think there's a lot of research on something called genistein, which is from soy. I do think there is a lot of research out there that shows some interesting things about the use of colloidal silver, and I do think there's some interesting research out there for a number of other things, such as things that are found in algae, which have been shown in Harvard research, Princeton research, to induce mannose-binding lectins. But the problem is, the reason it kills a certain percentage of people, 70% in some of the African countries where it was experienced, Those people have disabled immune systems. So their genes have been shut off through environmental factors to not be able to produce the lectins that are necessary to attack the actual virus and stop its replication. So it's internal change that's going to stop it. It's feeding yourself the natural nutrients you need. It's not going to get a super drug, which can actually help you. The problem is, if you build your own defenses, those people that aren't dying from it or aren't even really getting it, it's their immune system shutting it down right away. And here's the key thing. We shouldn't just be worrying, how do I treat Ebola? We shouldn't just be worrying, how do I treat bird flu? We should just be worrying, how do we treat ourselves to protect against all strains of everything?
Exactly.
Because if your immune system is there, if you have those mannose-binding lectins, you can inactivate pretty much all the viruses it comes in contact with. So that is key, to activate your own defenses at all times.
And we just had an article on Infowars.com last week or so, that scientist who is basically questioning whether or not people who had not become symptomatic could still transmit Ebola. He pointed out that in a study, 13% of the people who had been exposed to it basically shut it down with their immune system and never became symptomatic. So his questions were those people, did they still have enough of this virus that they could pass it on, like a typhoid Mary, even though they were not symptomatic? And we've seen the same sort of thing with experiments with mice, saying that when they modified their genetics to make them come down with the human Ebola virus, that about 20% of them did not come down with it because of their immune system.
Yes.
We also had situations where they had the epidemics get out of control with the monkeys and the laboratories. They found that even though none of the humans came down with it, they did find Ebola antibodies in the humans, which meant that they'd been exposed to that and had created an antibody to stop it. So the immune system is your first order of protection, and that's really, you want to stop it before you have these, before you come down with it, because even if you survive it, just like the nurse Nancy Reitball, who
transfusions from people that have survived and build the antibodies with actual immune systems. Yeah.
Yes, well, but even though she survived, she says she still has peripheral neuropathy and other issues because, I mean, it's a major, major sickness, even if you survive it.
Very deadly.
Even though they can sexually transmit Ebola.
Bodily
fluids, they're still transmitting. Most people, after 21 days, only a certain amount of people show symptoms anyway. It could be up to 60 days. They're just letting everyone out, running rampant, just spread Ebola everywhere.
Yeah.
You better protect yourself because they're not going to.
Right, well, that's one of the main arguments that they say why it's okay to let Ebola into our country, even though it doesn't exist here, is because we have better food and we have better, stronger immune systems. So absolutely, it's about the immune system. But it's exactly, that's the other thing, is the food that we're putting into our bodies. And how are these GMOs and things like that altering our DNA, altering our cellular structure to make it so that our immune system is going to be able to fight off whatever new, might not be Ebola, it might be the other airborne disease that Obama's saying could possibly come, you know, to our country.
I think that's part of what has hurt Obama in this election. We're talking about Democrats running from him. I think that, you know, they've always relied on women as a major part of the base of the Democrat Party. I think they're very much concerned about the open borders, the outbreak of Ebola, the way that it was not handled. I think women are going to look at that and they're going to say, wait a minute, that's my family that you're putting at risk. They're going to look at the fact that with open borders, criminals can easily come into our country without any kind of vetting going on and saying, that's my family you're putting at risk. I think that's a large part of what's taking them down. Before we go on with this, so Jakari, have you got anything else there that you wanted to...
Yeah, I wanted to point out, this, I guess it's for our graphics team, our great production staff, Du, Marcos, Josh Owens, everybody else out there in the production booth. Maybe you guys can comment on this. DC Media, he said, what a great commercial for X2, stellar job. So we see the X2 commercials, also the Super Male Vitality commercials, you guys in the production booth. Who does what on these InfoWars commercials?
It's a multi-pronged process. Usually it'll be myself or Joe Jennings or Josh will shoot the commercial. And then usually either me or Josh will edit it. And then we've got a number of graphics people, our graphic design team, plus some amazing motion graphics from Darren McBreen, who spends hours and hours making motion graphics. So it is a multi-pronged process like you'd see in any production house out there. There's not just one guy doing the job. It's a big thing. Like for that X2 ad, I mean, you guys went out to to the California coast. We're taking those readings, so it's you guys were out there shooting that stuff in the field, and then we had, you know, the graphics being made here. Travis also, who's David Knight's son, shoots a lot of photography that we use, a lot of those product shots that we're using. So it's a big team effort here, and no one person could do it by themselves. But Alex does do a great job at promoting these products, and he really does believe in them. I take X2 as well, and I take just the regular Survival Shield, by the way. I think they're great. I mix them up in smoothies and stuff like that, even for my kids. So,
isn't this amazing, though, all the calls for the show? I was talking to Alex about this earlier. No one calls in, and it's totally fine. Like, everyone is going to be affected differently by things, but no one ever calls in and says, yeah, I kind of like X2, but blah, blah, blah. No, every single person calls in and is like, thank you so much. X2 is amazing. It's changed my life. Superman Vitality, mm-hmm. DNA Force, every single time. And the emails, I could read them, but unfortunately, we can't. Due to FDA regulations, we can't actually read what happened to people.
Yeah.
But if you could read it, you would be amazed at what's actually happening.
Yeah.
FDA, which is head by Michael Taylor of Monsanto.
Well, he's a good guy.
He's a very good guy.
Well, thank you, Jakari. And, of course, Rob Dew and Darren McBrain are going to come from the production side. They're going to come in here and join us in the next segment. We're going to talk about what's going on with GMO labeling. We're also going to talk about the marijuana legalization initiatives. But before we go, before we leave this segment, let's go to that... that commercial from Mitch McConnell's opponent. Of course, we talked about Mitch McConnell what a piece of wood Mitch McConnell was. We showed
it's what
McConnelling
Allison
and
something.
Yeah, it was Allison shoots. Grimes. That's right. We got his opponent.
The chick who shoots the gun.
And she wanted to distance herself from Obama, and she wanted to point out that she's a real strong gun rights advocate, you know. And the entire clip of this thing is her shooting skeet. And talking about how she doesn't have any connection whatsoever with Obama. And yet we learned, I think it was from O'Keefe's project. Yeah, we learned that actually she is, go ahead, you can fill them in on the big lie.
Just going, saying that she's for coal because that's the only way you can get elected in her state. Meanwhile, if she does become elected, she's going to just continue what Obama has done. And
well, Obama made it clear when he was running the very first time that he was going to shut down all coal generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've come up with ways to make coal clean, but the real bottom line problem with alternative energy is that they don't have a way to deliver it smoothly and reliably over the grid. You know, it works in if you're going off grid, if you're doing it for your own personal benefit, yeah, you can come up with things and you can pay for the storage. It's expensive to do batteries. But if you want to have a reliable source that's going to be fed into the grid, you can't do it with windmills. They've tried it in other countries. They did it in Ireland. And even though they have a very windy area out in the ocean and stretch these windmills all over the place, all they did was make the peaks and valleys higher and lower. So they have to fill that in by making the coal production, which is their bottom line, or their oil production, the fossil fuel, if you want to put it that way. They have to make that rise and fall to fill in those gaps, which makes them even dirtier than they would be if they were running steady state. They run them in a mode that's not, so it's just like if you were on the road with your car and you're going faster and slower, you're going to use more fuel, you're going to be generating more pollution that way. So they have to fill it in that way. But Obama said from the very beginning, you could build a coal plant, but it was going to bankrupt you. Well, what he's trying to do actually is trying to bankrupt the entire United States, take all of our energy. It's not just the people who are producing coal in Kentucky that should be concerned about it. But here's the lady that was telling us that, first of all, she's for coal, but then James O'Keefe and his operators caught her saying, well, that's just what we're telling everybody. Once we get elected, we're going to be with Obama and we're going to take out the coal industry. Well, here's what she says about firearms in the Second Amendment.
I'm not Barack Obama. I disagree with him on guns, coal, and the EPA. And Mitch, that's not how you hold a gun.
Yeah, there you go. She's got an entire commercial there. The whole time she's turning around and taking shots at skeet.
Right, well, if we know she's lying about coal, then is she lying about the Second Amendment? Or is it, you know, like Bloomberg, where she and her people can have the guns, but we, the people, cannot have the guns?
Well, I'll tell you what, if she's not for gun control, and if she's not for shutting down the coal industry, there's going to be a lot of big financial backers, especially people in Hollywood, who are going to be very concerned and really don't have any idea who they're contributing to. I have a feeling that when they get together in their small little parties and hand over the big checks, they know exactly where she stands on issues. It's the people who only get their information from watching television commercials that are in the dark about that.
Right.
So.
And when you want to talk about selling off the country, you know, with shutting down coal, and then we've got Harry Reid there in Nevada selling the rights to the solar farms to the Chinese company.
Yes, absolutely.
So again, it's 100% facade PR campaign. You have to look through it all, push for the candidates that have real values.
Right.
Because even if they don't win, you're making a statement, pushing them in the media, and actually igniting real change as opposed to just voting for some PR campaign that you saw on late night television one time shooting skeet. Obama, you're not going to take this, and then secretly signing away the rights to the Second Amendment.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, now, we're going to be coming back right after. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back right after the break. And, of course, Rob Due and Darren McBreen are going to join us. They're going to talk about GMO initiatives on the ballot. We're also going to talk about marijuana initiatives on the ballot. What's behind these trends, and who are the big corporate interests fighting it? We're also going to tell you some resources about how you can investigate the people in your area, a great resource called Ballotpedia. We're going to take a look at that in the segment after that. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
I want to know what's really happening with Ebola. I want to know if there are things out there that could protect this country and protect my 3 children, just as you do. Government can't and won't protect you from Ebola. It is up to all of us to be prepared and to protect ourselves. I'm not sitting back waiting for the government to come protect me and take care of me. It's why I'm doing everything I can to boost my body's natural defenses. That's why I've got storable foods. That's why I've got my colloidal silver from InfoWarsLife.com, the silver bullet. That's why I've got Nascent Iodine X2 that has absolutely supercharged my personal body's defenses. I personally have gotten prepared, and I recommend everybody else get prepared as well. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to find the most cutting-edge, hardcore supplements on the planet. Or call the InfoWars staff, and we can answer your questions or take your order over the phone at 888-253-3139.
DNA.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield True Nascent Iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Office reported this afternoon that a voter trying to cast an early ballot in Española today was told he had already voted 3 days prior.
Activist on the tape goes on to suggest that discarded ballots could be collected from what she called Ghetto Aurora, saying that African Americans and Mexicans tend to throw out their ballots.
And as for those programs we do need, I'll make them work better and I'll make them cost less.
Thousands of federal workers are issued taxpayer-funded credit cards so long as they buy items that cost less than $3,000 or micro-purchases. Our review found about $20 billion in just about the course of a year.
We'll save billions by cutting waste and improving management and strengthening oversight.
We asked all of these other major federal agencies based here in D.C. for their micro-purchase shopping lists, and all refused.
I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
The Independent Congressional Budget Office warning a new fiscal crisis is coming if Washington doesn't get its spending in check.
Raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Just trying to pay the price, not listening to advice. Decide.
from the InfoWars.com studios.
First, Ebola is not spread through the air like the flu.
Ebola is capable of entering human airway cells. Ebola is primed to be able to have respiratory transmission.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones. You are either with the Republic or against it.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News live pre-election coverage. This is about 2.5 hours into it. I'm David Knight, and I'm joined in the studio now with Rob Dew and again with Anthony Gucciardi. We're going to talk about some GMO initiatives as well as some marijuana initiatives that are going to be appearing on the ballots across the nation. What's the trend behind it? Who's opposing it? It's a very interesting story. Rob, you want to take
I'm just going to take it away and just read off a bunch of these, because it's not just the four states that are involved in this marijuana initiatives. There are numerous cities and counties across the country, including Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
District of Columbia is involved in this. So we'll start first with Alaska. This is ballot measure 2. And basically what they're going to do is allow the possession of an ounce of marijuana and up to 6 plants, and the possession of the paraphernalia would be legal as well, so they wouldn't be going after anybody for that. So that's a big, moneymaker for them, I think, if they were to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Florida is going to do medical marijuana, so what most people think is that's the next step to legalizing it. So that's the first step, I guess. So that's amendment number 2. And medical, they use by a qualifying patient or a personal caregiver, is not subject to criminal or civil liability. A licensed physician is not subject, and a registered medical marijuana treatment center.
Now, before you leave that one, when that first came out, that was this summer, that had 90% support. They need to have 60% to make it a law. Sheldon Adelson got involved in that. And, of course, he is not involved in any of these legalization issues, but he got involved in opposing medical marijuana and saying that that's a gateway to legalization. Well, then, if that's really his issue, okay, and he is about 90% of the budget opposing this, this casino owner from out of state, from Nevada, if that's really the issue, then why isn't he opposing these outright legalization issues elsewhere? Well, as Vice pointed out when they looked at Vice.com, they said he's been for a long time trying to get casino operations in Florida, which basically have been monopolized by the Seminole tribe there. So he's been trying to get his foot in the door, doing the Republicans a favor there.
And, you know, I've seen firsthand what happens to a small, medium-sized community when gambling comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in southwest Louisiana. I was born in Lake Charles, Sulphur area. Moved away for about 8 years, came back. And in that time, the casinos had developed in that area. Well, yeah, they did raise some money for the schools. But when the legislators came back and said, hey, we want to take a little more money for the schools, they threatened to cut and run.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that they built these on lands where chemical plants were. So these are lands that couldn't be used for anything else. If you've ever seen a giant chemical facility there in Louisiana, I mean, it's pretty atrocious what they've done to the environment. But this is also stuff we need, so they put it in one area. So these things are there. Also, there's an increase in the number of Waffle Houses and pawn shops. I mean, it exponentially increases with the number of casinos there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, it did provide some jobs. I had some friends who were dealers, made some good money. A friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a while said, hey, you know, me and my wife are dealers, and we make enough money that, you know, we get to both stay home and keep our kids, you know, we don't send our kids to school, we homeschool them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all bad, but I'm not a big proponent of gambling.
They honestly can probably make money providing medical marijuana to people
there
as well.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Rob. What is more harmful to the community, gambling or allowing people to have medical treatment from a natural substance?
Look at Atlantic City.
Yeah.
That answers everything right there. The casinos said they would give money back to the community. The government gave them $200 million, just one casino, and nothing came out of it. Now they're bankrupt.
All right. They're falling apart, essentially.
But look at what's been in the news the last couple of days. We had this young lady who had terminal cancer. She took her own life. She was an advocate for death with dignity, you know, assisted suicide or whatever. There's been a lot of press coverage of that, and yet nobody is talking about being able to get medical treatment that really does help people who have who are throwing up, who can't keep the medicine down because they're taking these dangerous pharmaceuticals. People with glaucoma, it's one of the best treatments for glaucoma. They're denying this medical treatment to them. They're talking about death with dignity. Well, what about medical treatment with dignity? What about medical treatment without going bankrupt because you can take a natural substance?
And well, not even the pain to help you take these chemotherapy drugs. What about the hash oil? I don't think there have been enough studies on, does this hash oil really work? And there are people out there taking it and saying it's cured them of their cancer, or at least brought it down to a manageable level.
Big Pharma is making a THC-like drug because it kills cancer cells.
Yes.
Specifically prostate cancer. Study after study, THC annihilating it, the cannabinoids. It's actually a lot of really, really smart doctors right now working on natural forms of cannabinoids or cannabinoids, which doesn't contain THC. So it's the portion of the marijuana, actual leaf, that does not get you high, that does kill cancer cells and does bolster your immune system.
Yeah. And it has no negative effects, but they won't allow you to try it. I know that when we looked up glaucoma treatment because someone in my family tested high. Fortunately, they didn't have it. We looked up glaucoma, and they said, this is from the American Ophthalmology Society, they said marijuana is very, you look at all these other drugs, and they've got all these very dangerous side effects. I mean, some of them blindness. You know, in many cases, we see this over and over again with pharmaceutical drugs, that the very thing that they're supposed to help, they exacerbate, okay, whether it's mental illness or some other condition. And so we see that in the case of medical marijuana for glaucoma, they said no negative side effects. They said the negative side effects were increased appetite and euphoria. And they said the biggest risk was they didn't know the amount that you needed to take in order for it to be effective. So you might under-medicate. I mean, that's it. But we are not allowed to do that. If you take it, the big side effect of taking marijuana, of course, is going to be some goons confiscating your property, sending you to jail, because 80% of the people that are in jail over this idiotic war on drugs prohibition, because alcohol prohibition failed, and now after 40 years, the drug war is a total failure. 80% of the people who are in jail are there because of marijuana.
Well, Rob's got a huge stack, I think.
And I've got a story coming up about that, too. Oregon has also wanted to do the same thing. The difference between them and Alaska is they want to allow up to 8 ounces of dried marijuana and up to 4 plants. So they say 6 is too many, 4 is good enough.
How do they come up with these numbers anyway?
I mean, it boggles the mind, but I guess 4 is better than none. And then the interesting one is Washington State. They want to. They're talking about eliminating a tax or having different measures on whether they're going to have tax or repeal it or maintain a tax on the medical marijuana that, or the marijuana that they do allow there now. Now I want to run through the city and county ones. So here's the city of Napa wants to have a medical marijuana dispensary referendum. They would veto a referendum that authorized a regulated city or a regulated dispensary. So they're saying, well, hey, we don't really want this in our community, which is interesting. And there's another one in here from Colorado. They're saying they don't want it in their city as well, which I think it's the right of cities to
say,
let's vote on this as a community. Do we want this here? Do we not? A lot of the skiing communities up front say they're against it, but they're selling it everywhere. They just say they're against it on the slopes. I was there in January when it just became legalized, and in Breckenridge, they had, I think, 3 different shops that you could go into, but there were signs everywhere to not smoke it anywhere on the ski resort.
Followed that.
Oh, yeah. Grosse Pointe Park marijuana decriminalization proposal. So they want to decriminalize it. That's in Wayne County, Michigan. So that's sort of in the center of the country. And there's actually a big anti-marijuana criminalization movement going on in Michigan. So up there in that Upper Peninsula area. The city of South Portland, they want to have a recreational marijuana legislation measure. The city of Santa Ana, they want to have something, if approved, it would establish a medical marijuana regulation ordinance. So they want to, I guess, get in on the tax money that is available. Butte County is looking at doing activists turned in 12,000 signatures on March 12th, 2 hours before the deadline to qualify their veto referendum for the ballot seeking to overturn a county ordinance. So they basically want to overturn what's going on there. So it's small communities taking action, which I really like. Shasta County, that's in California. City of San Jose, Medical Marijuana Regulation Act. Then the City of Lewistown, Medical Marijuana Legalization Measure of 2014. So that's in Lewiston, Maine. The City of Manitou Springs. And let's see, I've got another.
And I would point out that you're getting all this information from Ballotpedia.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that in a
Big
little bit.
Time.
It's a great resource for information. You can search it by your location. You can search it by state. You can search it by issue, which is what Rob did here. Ballotpedia is one of these things like Wikipedia. It's free online support. They ask for your charitable donation. But you can go down and you can drill down and look at individual candidates. You can see where they're getting their money. I mean, they even go down and they have all the different parties that they had, house parties where people gave them money. And they show how much the different plates were for that, in the different places. So you can also look at their net worth and see how their net worth has increased since they've been in Congress. That's a real telltale sign.
That's true.
It's a great... great source for information, but going back to marijuana.
Going back to this, Manitou Springs is actually, they want to repeal, they're trying to spearheading this group to get it from being sold in that area. That's in Colorado, El Paso County, Colorado. And I guess they don't want to have it in their area. They don't want the tax dollars that go along with it. Maybe they think it's caused an increase in crime. I think most places are saying they're seeing decreases in crime. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting one that actually passed in August of 2014. This was the city of Oak Park, a marijuana decriminalization proposal, and it passed with 53% of the vote compared to 46%. And finally, I think that if this happens, it's just a coup de grace to what's going on in the federal policy, Washington, D.C. Marijuana Legislation Initiative 71. So you can check out all these on Ballotpedia. They're all there. You could check out any number of measures, anything you're interested in, not just marijuana, not just GMO labeling. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything out there you can find out about, and lots of other stuff, historical examples.
Yeah.
Something's been failing in your area. Maybe look at other areas and see when they failed. What did they do to make it right? Well, how did they fix it and finally get it passed in their area? These two final things. There's a DrugSense. This is off the drugsense.org. They have the drug war clock, and it just shows, if you can pull the clock up, how much we've been spending just this year, federal, state, and then the total. I mean, and it's up about a couple hours ago. Is it 12 billion? We're still at 12 billion seven. All right. So we haven't hit the 13 billion yet for the year. But by the end of the year, we're probably going to be at $14 billion of federal government.
Almost as much as their microtransactions.
There you go. Yeah, but not quite.
Not quite.
If we had all microtransaction credit cards,
Starbucks is more expensive, but it is pretty big.
It is a drug, too, I think.
It's true.
Well, I'd add to that there in California, there's a statewide initiative to, I believe it's a statewide initiative, but there's an initiative on the ballot measure to make most felonies misdemeanors if they're nonviolent. And they specifically mention drugs because... that's what's filling up our prisons.
Yes.
And it goes back to the Reagan administration and Ed Meese when they came up with mandatory minimums. They didn't have the prison capacity to put everybody in at the time. And so they started letting violent criminals out on the streets, murderers, rapists, that they would let go so they could lock up somebody who had not hurt anybody, who was growing, let's say, pot in their closet, who'd never had a conviction before in their life. It was simply they had to have a mandatory sentence for a long period of time based on the quantity. If they had several plants in, that's what they would do. Not necessarily convicting them of any kind of drug trafficking or anything, just the quantity of marijuana that they were found with.
I think it was all about getting rid of the undesirables, the minorities and the people who didn't believe in the system. And because I think you find a lot of those people do end up using marijuana in one form or another because they've kind of turned their back on the system with pharmaceuticals, with caffeinated beverages, and the way they get their medicine is naturally through a plant that grows from the ground.
They certainly have targeted them, and I mean the perfect way to see that is with the Gary Webb story that just came out in a movie, Kill the Messenger. When you look at that and you look at how the government had this perfect system set up where they wanted to covertly arm these guerrillas in Central America, and then they used crack cocaine epidemic, which they were running with Freeway Ricky Ross. And Gary Webb exposed all that perfect mechanism. But, of course, they targeted the inner city community with that. They're
it's
the ones
the
that they targeted.
It's like the facade of the elections. I mean, at the same time that they crack down on people smoking a little bit of marijuana, they lump them in the same category as someone that's taking a ton of PCP. Mm-hmm. And then they ship in the drugs themselves. It's just like the facade of this election where they act like everyone has support on both ends and it's a whole big thing and that, Wendy Davis is great. It's a whole facade just as the drug war is a facade. And what's really interesting to me, getting back to these counties and everything, D.C. is pushing for legalization. Mm-hmm. Michigan is pushing for legalization. Why is Austin not pushing for anything? Why have we not seen that?
There are people pushing for it here. I don't think they're pushing hard enough. And I think you're going to see Texas, unfortunately, be one of the last places to change. I think there are just too many old fuddy-duddies who like paying for people for three meals a day and a place to sleep. I mean, I really think they enjoy doing that, putting people up. I think they bought into the prison system complex here in Texas. There's prisons everywhere here. These people know that they keep their prisons filled with nonviolent drug offenders. And to be able to lord over them, that's just something that has been around for the last 30 years, and they're accepting that as a industry, which is sad. It's really sad. And it's like, yeah, they could be dealers on gambling boats, or they could be running medical marijuana dispensaries. There's other things out there people could be doing. We could grow a lot of pot in Texas. I made a bumper sticker for said grow hemp, grow Texas, because we could have a hemp industry here. We could
and
have
hemp,
a marijuana
of course,
industry.
Doesn't get anybody high. That's something that goes in direct competition with textile industries and that sort of thing. But they ban it because they have to demonize this drug. One of the things that bothers me so much is, as I mentioned about the death with dignity movement, as they're moving with this no on two, and you see these groups coming together. One of the groups that is the religious groups that are falling in with Sheldon Adelson and the Republican Party to try to stop medical marijuana. I mean, we see the Baptists in Florida, as well as the Catholics, are pushing hard to stop this. And I look at it and it's like, why would you not have the compassion to allow people to have access to anything that could help them as they're sick like that? It absolutely makes no sense whatsoever.
It's not very Christian.
At the grassroots level, they've bought into this, that they are so powerless, as the Baptists and the Catholics are so powerless to offer Jesus to people to change their lives. Instead, they want the government to hit people with a hammer. That's the mentality that we had during alcohol prohibition. It was an absolute failure during alcohol prohibition. And yet, we were reproducing this mistake now for going on for 40 years. I've talked to law enforcement against prohibition many times and have talked to a Chicago prosecutor there. And he was a drug warrior for a while, and he saw how counterproductive it was. Not only just the corruption, but it was totally ineffective as well. It just bothers me so much to see them shut off all compassion to people and then look to the government to change everybody's life by using law enforcement
and a
hammer.
And I bet you they identify as conservative. But isn't it interesting we see this pattern of relying on the government over and over again?
Yes.
Just going back to the Ebola thing, I don't want to get back into it, but they're relying for the government to come and save them. And these people are relying on the government to go ahead and throw everyone in jail that's using medical marijuana, which obviously is not anything equivalent to taking something like PCP. And I've seen people on PCP, but I've seen also a lot of people in Austin getting arrested for having small joints. And meanwhile, as Alex kind of talked about on Sunday, I was down just showing someone what Sixth Street was like, not even going there, saying this is totally insane. This is like a apocalyptic hellhole. And I was literally attacked by 8 racist black people calling me cracker. One had a knife and threatening me, and the cops do absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
telling me they're going to kill me. And that's fine. But then there's like a frat boy that has a little bit of weed and he's going around smoking. You know, he just learned how to smoke a marijuana cigarette or something, and they're just throwing him on the car and arresting him. But 10 feet away, people are essentially getting mugged with a knife, being told we're going to kill you and rape your girlfriend. And that's okay, though.
Well, and I wonder how many of these Texas state legislatures are doing cocaine on a regular basis. I wonder how many are doing it in the city government. I wonder how many are doing it in the national level. I mean, if drugs are such a problem, why don't we drug test these people and see what they're on? Why can't we do that? I mean, we drug test everybody else in the universe. If you want to get welfare, they want to give you a drug test, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But I say, let's drug test the government. They're the biggest welfare recipients out there.
Well,
let's drug test
the
corporations that we're giving tax breaks to. Let's drug test all these people. If we got to look at everybody else, let's look at everybody with the same microscope.
Well, and of course, what we're going to find is that, of course, as Alex is always talking about, they're the biggest shippers. Look at Afghanistan, okay? It only had 10% of the world's supply of opium-based drugs before we went there. Now it's got 90%, okay?
So most,
and we've got a heroin epidemic.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Just like they did in Central America. They create a crack cocaine epidemic. And who was it? It was Oliver North and the Republicans. These guys who are such hardcore anti-drug addicts. But they get away with it because they can scare the grassroots people, the rank and file. They think that the only way they can stop this is through prohibition. It didn't work with alcohol. It hasn't worked now for 40, 50 years with the war on drugs. All it is doing is creating the biggest prison population on the planet per capita, far worse than China, far worse than Russia, and it is, it's just a horrible thing, that the prohibition. I don't drink alcohol, I don't do drugs, you guys know that. I am absolutely, totally against prohibition, and I am against allowing people to suffer and die because you're withholding safe, effective, things that could possibly be safe and effective. I was galvanized in this back in the early 90s. It was a guy, Peter McWilliams, and he wrote a book, Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do. This guy was, a pretty libertine, libertarian or whatever. He was undergoing treatment for AIDS at the time, and the pharmaceuticals that he was having making him violently ill, just like somebody on cancer treatment. He had a drug, a judge say you cannot use medical marijuana. It's the only thing that smoking marijuana was the only thing that kept it under control. The Marinol pills did not work, okay, make him throw up, just like so many people. So he kept doing it. The judge arrested him, put him in jail. He died in a jail cell choking on his own vomit. And I said, how can people put up with this? How can we say that we want to do this as a society? How can we justify locking people up for the number of years that Reagan and Ed Meese came up with? It's an absolute abomination.
Yeah, it is terrible. And actually, we have a special report I'd like to go to real quick. And this is filed by Joe Biggs, who was actually in Afghanistan. He was on missions where they were bringing guys in, bringing supplies in, guarding fields where they were growing poppies and then harvesting them. And their big excuse is that, well, this is their lifestyle. This is what they do. And what are we there for? We're there to protect their lifestyle, to grow heroin and opium and poppies.
We're there for that. We're there for the lithium, for the batteries.
That's, but we can't.
A few other things too.
What if, there's a lot of people's lifestyle here that is growing pot and smoking it. So why aren't we protecting their lifestyle? Oh, well, we're not making black ops CIA money.
Yeah. So we make their lifestyle going to jail.
Exactly. Do we have that report? You guys could throw it to it. All right, go ahead and throw to that.
I'm Joe Biggs with a special report for Infowars.com. Now, we just had a recent report put up by NBC News stating Afghan opium poppies hit record high despite $7 billion U.S. campaign. According to SIGAR's report, the value of the opium produced in Afghanistan reached $3 billion in 2013. That was a 50% increase from 2012. So there's definitely a lot more production of opium going on in Afghanistan. And as you can see on this map over here, all of Afghanistan is in some way involved in the production of opium. The ones in the red you can see are the most right now. That's on the border of Iran over here and Farah. And then over to the right, you've got Kabul right here on the Pakistan border. Those areas have gone up a lot in production. I was in the coast province just below that in the green right there. Production has decreased, and it's for a reason, because those guys are a lot more traditional. They are tribal leaders who are very anti-Taliban, very anti-Western in any kind of way. So when we would go in and ask them, basically, not me personally, but the higher powers that be, when they would go in and speak and ask these guys if they were willing to play ball, and they say no, their crops would be completely burnt down or destroyed in some kind of manner. So the ones who are willing to play ball are the ones who are going to have their production go up like there and over here in Kabul as well. I've got some stories, personal stories as well, from being in Afghanistan, where we would be called out on these missions and be told not to ask any questions. We would have these OGA or other government agency type guys, full beard, decked out in all the coolest combat gear you could think of, and these guys would get put into our Humvees, and we would have to take them out on these missions. One of the days I remember very clearly is pulling up to an opium field and these guys getting out and going to speak to the farmer. And meanwhile, we're sitting out here in our Humvees, manning 50 cals, trying to pull security for an opium field, And then sometimes you would see these OGA guys coming back saying, hey, destroy it all. Or sometimes they would say, all right, let's set up a perimeter and guard this. And those are the guys, that I assume that were willing to play ball with the Western countries and allow us to, do some kind of drug deal with that. We know our government's done that before.
In Western Kandahar, poppy farmers score, till, harvest their crop, and the Americans do nothing to stop them.
Assalamu alaikum.
I know that you care deeply about this this contradiction, the fact that here you have one of the best fighting forces in the world ever mounted, and in a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
We just saw the new movie, Kill the Messenger, that came out, where Gary Webb exposes how the CIA was bringing cocaine in and using Freeway Ricky Ross to, deal those drugs out into California. And there was this huge, crack cocaine epidemic that happened back then. So we know that our government gets involved with things like that, but it's just crazy. We're spending $7 billion to stop this production. Meanwhile, their production rate is going up. And now Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's opium. But then you've got the people who get addicted to them. They crush up the pills, snort them. They get addicted to heroin, injecting it. And it destroys a lot of lives as well. And we are, our government's helping that out. It's mind-blowing to see how our country is willing to help put money in the pockets of people and others that want to destroy the American way of life. We're funding ISIS. We're doing all that. And once again, we're funding more drugs to be made, to be brought into our country to destroy American lives. So continue watching our reports on Infowars.com. I'm Joe Biggs.
There you go. So all you conservatives who like your wars and going into other countries and killing people who have nothing to do with the events that you say they have to do with, that's what you get. You get more drugs. So you're actually helping growing drugs. And here domestically, you're helping keep people in jail, giving them, what is it, three rounds in a cot. How's it go? Like, they get three meals a day and they get a place to sleep. Three hots in a cot. That's how it is. Three hots in a cot. And it blows my mind that we could sit here and we're even having a debate about the legalization of marijuana at this point when our country ships in the crack, ships in the cocaine, and we help the Afghanis grow and become the world leaders in heroin production. I mean, what more do you have to say other than can't some people have their damn weed? I don't know.
Well, it isn't going to stop anything, and we've seen that with alcohol prohibition. And I think we need to go back and ask, by what authority do they have this? It took a constitutional amendment to have alcohol prohibition. Yeah. We got another constitutional amendment that said, no, we're going to repeal that one. That was like 100 years ago when people respected the Constitution. But if you needed it then, you need it now. But now they can just say everything is prohibited unless we expressly permit it with the FDA.
Yeah.
Right? So
let's finish up on GMO labeling.
Yeah, GMO.
It does remind me of the trade sanctions that the U.S. threatened against countries that would not adopt Monsanto's GMOs. So specifically, we're talking about Spain, we're talking about Europe, we're talking about Russia. The U.S. goes in with diplomats and the State Department with pamphlets from Monsanto. This came out in WikiLeaks. It's on The Guardian. Covered it multiple times. They go in with pamphlets the State Department pays for, promoting Monsanto into Europe, certain areas of Russia, and specifically Spain. And they're trying to corner the markets for biotech, and they're trying to make sure all of the corn over there, all of the soy, everything is 100% GMO. And if the countries go in and say, no, that's unsafe, like Spain did, then certain ties with the United States, diplomats go in and say, oh, that's fine. We'll just go ahead and issue trade wars against you and cripple your economy if you don't accept Monsanto. And that's come out through WikiLeaks. The Guardian proved it's real. They actually say, we will destroy your economy if you don't use Monsanto's biotech GMOs. So, of course, the countries say, well, we don't want trade wars with the United States. We'd rather use them. Russia's come out multiple times and said that GMOs are actually unsafe and started to back against it. But over and over, these countries are adopting them because the U.S. is actually paying for the marketing of Monsanto. But it's no surprise to me. Look at Michael Taylor, who had major head at the FDA, but also the Supreme Court has an individual that was formerly with Monsanto as their top lawyer, and he never steps down when voting on Supreme Court issues for Monsanto. But there's over 500 individuals that are both in Monsanto or were in Monsanto that are now major heads of the federal government.
And what's at stake in these GMO initiatives, okay?
It's labeling. Micropayments, that's what's at stake.
They want a label on there. I mean, they've got very stringent labeling rules, but we're not allowed to know if it's GMO in there. And, of course, we've got the big soda pop companies that are fighting this because they use high fructose corn syrup, which almost all corn is GMO. And so they're fighting against that as well as Monsanto. Huge, huge corporate sponsorship to fight this. All we want to know is what's in our food.
Well,
that's
just
a crime.
Like you said, if Obamacare is so great, then Obama should just come out and show all the pros and the stats and the reality behind it. If GMOs are so safe, as Monsanto says, I mean, hey, They fabricated an FDA quote and used the FDA seal and said they're the same as natural organic produce.
What do they have to hide?
What do they have to hide? Yeah. They should proudly label, this is genetically modified, saves the environment. Oh, wait.
Better living through science and chemistry.
It creates
so they ought to put it on there, you know, with the scientific seal on there, except that they don't want to defend the GMO practice. That's the key, is that they don't want it on there because... We know what the game is.
We know GMOs are bad, but most people don't know that it's actually the Roundup, the number one selling herbicide with glyphosate patented by Monsanto as an actual antibiotic herbicide and somewhat of a pesticide. Yes, sterilizes men. It's been shown time and time again.
Kills bees.
I actually think Roundup is worse than GMOs. Of course, they're Roundup ready. They have Roundup inside of them, and they're resistant to the actual Roundup. But I think Roundup is worse for your health than the actual GMOs themselves. And Roundup is much more pervasive. You can go in Home Depot right now and buy gallons of Roundup and spray your lawn. Most people do. I've seen it outside. Yeah. People just spraying their lawn right in front of their faces with Roundup.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see.
It makes men infertile.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow if people will say, no, I don't want to know what's in my food. Please don't tell me if it's got GMO in it.
Well, and they've got spooks saying it's going to raise your prices of food. When they started putting the ingredients on the sides of all the food containers, I remember when they didn't have ingredients. And then they started putting ingredients. It didn't raise the prices of food.
Look, they change their labels. They change their labels all the time.
Yeah.
They change the labels all the time. Yeah. It's part of marketing. You know, they'll put new and improved on there.
Our product labels have to be very, very, very precise. The actual amounts of everything we put in there, even for proprietary measures, we have to go in and test it for metals. We have to test it for pesticides. Mm-hmm. Every single possible thing, we have to do all of this. And we're not charging the end customer hundreds of extra dollars over the course of numerous bottles. That's not how it works.
It's the cost of doing business.
It's the cost of doing business.
The bottom line is they have to get any label they put on food approved now as it is. All they're saying is just that one little thing there, does it have GMO or not?
That's the only change that has to be made. 2017 or 18. The bottom line is, if you're putting GMOs in your product, you know they're genetically modified. It's not hard to put a label on there. Now, I mean, you're going to know.
Some companies are doing it. They have the GMO-free project. Yeah. And they're saying, hey, it's non-GMO. You know, you get my corn chips. They're non-GMO. And those are the ones that I buy.
Yeah. So we're going to find out tomorrow if people really want slavery, if they really want ignorance, if they want to have the ingredients hidden from them, if they want to be able to, if they want to see their neighbors go to jail for having small amounts of marijuana. We'll find out tomorrow about that. We're going to be looking at results. But before we call it quits tonight, let's see what's on the Twitter feed. We've got Leanne McAdoo taking a look at that. Leanne, you got anything there?
Well, guys, I think this will be a good question to end tonight's election coverage and, of course, leave a good cliffhanger for tomorrow night's coverage. DF Truth wants to know, if the GOP takes the Senate, will we really be better off?
Well, there you go. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night because, of course, we're going to have results and we're going to look at how that's going to affect things. We saw earlier at the beginning of the broadcast Foreign Policy saying, well, if the Republicans take it, we're going to see Richard Burr probably in the Senate Intelligence Chair, chairing that committee. He's going to be even more inclined to enhanced interrogation and NSA dragnet spying than even Dianne Feinstein. She got her feathers ruffled when they spied on her staff when they wanted to release information about CIA's past torture programs. And so she pushed back a little bit. By and large, she's been fine with it. But Richard Burr says he doesn't think the public has a right to know anything about what goes on with the intelligence community. So we're going to see that as...
We should just give them all credit cards and just let them spend it on whatever they want.
Exactly. So, yeah, the question is... And also, we saw that Romney just said today that when the Republicans get in, they're going to revitalize the economy. And one of the ways they're going to do that is with new trade agreements. Well... Is he talking about the Trans-Pacific?
TPP.
The TPP, exactly. The Transatlantic Trade Partnership. I mean, those things are very, very dangerous. Those are going to be more ways to intimidate other countries, like you mentioned, Anthony, for big corporations to intimidate governments who are trying to protect their people from GMO, from other things, trying to give them medicine at a reasonable price when the big pharmaceuticals are trying to rob them blind. So it's also going to be a backdoor to putting in CISPA, which they haven't been able to push through legislatively, but that's something that is close to the heart of Republicans for whatever reason. I think we're going to see that pick up. I think we're going to see the wars pressed even more so than Obama has done because they feel that Obama isn't doing enough drone assassination. You know, having multiple wars in his administration started, that's not enough either. We need to have more.
Oh, he's put a foothold into Africa, and he stated that that's what the goal is, to go in through AFRICOM under humanitarian crisis And that's, I think we're just seeing the beginning with this whole Ebola thing, and that's going to be big, which we'll probably see some stuff about Ebola after the election. We've got a whole special we're going to do on Obama's five-finger death punch to yes. the American people. What's going to come after this election? Because I think we're going to be in for a lot of surprises that they're not telling us now. They're holding everything against their chest, and I think right after that it's going to be like, oh, by the way, you're screwed.
Well, we're supposed to believe the Republicans are going to do something to control the borders, to control Obamacare. Why don't they defund Obamacare from the House? I mean, they haven't done anything this entire time. Are we supposed to believe that Mitch McConnell is going to
And they've backed away from that. They've backed away from saying we're going to do anything about Obamacare.
Or the borders.
I've actually got a couple solutions on Obamacare. I currently use one, and it has nothing to do, and it's exempt from the Obamacare laws, and yet it's something people can get into, and I'm going to do a special report on it coming up, especially before it hits the tax season, because people have a right to know about this stuff, and they should get involved with it, and a lot of people can get involved.
Absolutely. Any last comments, Anthony?
Well, I think overall we did a good job breaking down the facade of the elections. We got into the actual inspirational points that you can stand for something, you can actually ignite change. I mean, look at all these marijuana initiatives.
Yeah.
Also, look at the GMO initiatives. Look at the fact that just today a report came out about how Kellogg's cereals made with pretty much 100% GMO corn, specifically Roundup Ready GMO corn. And look, just we put that out recently, and there's already boycotts going on against Kellogg's. There's already mothers. I'm looking at the comments before I got on the show. There's mothers freaking out saying, oh, my God, I didn't know that this contained GMOs. It's a crazy thing to me that they didn't know that, but they didn't. And there's hundreds of comments saying, oh, my God, I'm never going to feed my children this again. That's hundreds, well, ultimately thousands and tens of thousands of children that will never be fed GMO corn Kellogg's again and may never actually develop irritable bowel syndrome, which then gives them gut cancer, which then ruins their lives, which then they're forced to take all the big pharma drugs, and they ultimately may die from the chemotherapy and the radiation, so on and so forth. So that is insane to me. If you actually fathom that and think about that and take that in, thousands of kids will now maybe not get cancer or maybe not develop irritable bowel because people are learning about GMOs, because people are learning about all the things we're talking about today and making changes in their lives. Even if they're micro changes, they can affect everyone in a major way. That's real, and that's powerful, and that's breaking beyond the facade.
Yeah, that's word of mouth, and kids are going to tell their friends who will tell their parents, and it'll start spreading, you know, the way stuff used to spread without the internet.
Yes.
Where, you know, word of mouth used to be very powerful, and it still is. It's a powerful way to make things happen.
Well, we're going to be back tomorrow night. We're going to start at 6 p.m. Central Time. Alex Jones is going to be joining us. One of the things we didn't get to tonight, we're also going to talk about tomorrow night, not only the results, not only the different ways that elections are gamed, about the different methods of fraud. We're going to talk about how you can transcend the system. There's a lot to be done as an activist, a lot of things that can be done to check the power of government individually and collectively at the local level. And so we're going to talk to people from the Free State Project. People there have looked at both elections and at direct activism. So join us tomorrow night. We'll begin at 6 p.m. Central. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groot. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Super Male Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Of Texas. If California